What began with the disgusting revelations of the British Top of the Pops host Jimmy Savile and his decades of rampant pedophilia, necrophilia, and Satanism has convulsed into a full-fledged unmasking of a three-decades-long callboy ring fueled by government officials, entertainers, government spies, and royal palace workers. The focus of the investigation rests on the West London location known as the Elm Guest House.
Elm Guest House, a former gay brothel where young children are also said to have been molested.
I think Richard's transporting over to the United Kingdom mainland to be abused rather than just being abused in Northern Ireland speaks volumes. It ties the two together.
The Elm Guest House, fronted as a gay bathhouse, as numerous victims have attested to, it was primarily a child sex abuse house of horrors for the elite. The revelations are so vast and damaging, the English government was forced to declare the investigation a national security issue. The seedy side of British culture only serves to gain momentum. Prime Minister Cameron simulating fornication with a pig during a college occult ritual. And the elite relish their rituals. Hermetic rituals originating from the ancient Egyptian city of Commune, or Hermopolis, a Greek synthesis of the worship of Thoth with that of the Greek god Hermes. Hermeticism reached a cultural metamorphosis in the modern age by several 19th century authors, including Eliphas Levi, Samuel Lytle, MacGregor Mathers, Arthur Edward Waite, and Waite's Golden Dawn nemesis, pedophile, Aleister Crowley. Crowley was quoted as saying, "A made child of perfect innocence is the most suitable victim." And with this sentiment in mind, he set up his Abbey of Thelema in Sicily, Italy. This abbey served Crowley as a laboratory of sex magic, ranging from ritual sacrifice to pedophilia. In 1923, Crowley was booted out of Italy by Benito Mussolini after news of a death at the abbey was reported. Crowley, penniless and a hardcore heroin addict, then landed in France. As ridiculous as it may seem, unconfirmed claims tie the conception of Barbara Bush to the adulterous union of Aleister Crowley and Pauline Pierce, conducted during a sex magic ritual that occurred in France in 1924, possibly making George W. the grandson of the wickedest man in the world, which, if true, would definitely add more weight to the ritualistic events surrounding the tragedy of 9/11.
This is a war against God's creation, and you can pretend that's not what it is. You can go along with the system and think you're going to work in the system and, you know, be powerful and rule people. The only rebellion Satan could engage in would be to go against God. Not to try to be God, but to be the anti-God. And they are establishing a system with unlimited finance to dismantle everything wholesome and everything good and replace it with a nightmare system where they are promised eternal life in the silicon if they will destroy the third dimension. And because life came out of God's third dimension, they intend to overthrow the third dimension, interdimensional overthrow, and the creating of cyberspace, metaverse, hell, where the metaverse swallows reality. The energy force coming out of it is the lowest resonance that can even be imagined. You can't even imagine it. So when you see the globalist, you are seeing captured souls that by exercise of ritual in the real world, carrying out crimes against God, crimes against humanity, God's creation, have separated themselves by choice so that they can receive the satanic transmission to carry out their God's directives. The system wants to make people desperate. They want to put VR goggles on children at birth. They want to chemically damage them and attack their DNA transceiver capability, which is now mainline science. That's what it is, to cut you off from the space winds, from the magnetic forces, from the ether that the Holy Spirit transmits through, so they can be so isolated. And then by increment, sin, which means going against God's program, to be prepared at an industrial scale to lose their soul to the black hole. The entering hell and the black hole is a spinning centrifuge, top and bottom. And then when you enter in to that gate, you then go into the new dimension.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the American Journal for what may very well be our last broadcast ever. Alex Jones is en route to Houston, Texas right now. for the hearing that will decide our fate. We could be shut down as early as a couple hours from now. So we have a video message from Alex that we'll play here in just a second. But he is on the way to Houston. He should be calling in around 10 a.m. with an update. Before then, we'll be joined by Gavin McGinnis and Kristan T. Harris in the second hour. News and maybe your calls in the first. God willing, we'll have, you know, at least maybe a show next week, maybe. But we really don't know. So we await sentencing, essentially. Alex Jones faces day of reckoning over what he owes Sandy Hook families. Now, we'll talk about it. Yeah, we'll get into it. But here first is a message from Alex Jones about what is going on today.
Well, today's the day, Friday, June 14th, 2024. I am going to be in federal court at 10 a.m. this morning. We're driving into Houston right now. It is 7:30, roughly, a.m. And the Democratic Party deep staters are all public filings to close the doors today. And they want to take my social media, which is completely outside of law, totally insane. They're completely desperate. And I just appreciate everybody's support and their prayers. But this is a lot bigger than Alex Jones. They're making their move on Trump in America. They are extremely desperate. Steve Bannon's reporting to jail July 1st. Navarro, all these other Republicans that did nothing wrong but are contempt of Congress, they're in jail. This is real tyranny. Meanwhile, they run around whining and bitching all day that if Trump gets elected, he's going to put all of them in prison. The globalists are turning America into a giant prison. So this is a big deal. This is a canary in the coal mine moment. I did a big interview with Tucker Carlson yesterday that we're going to air today at 11 a.m. Central on the Russell Brand, but we've already put the interviews here on X. Please share them. The enemy wants this off the air for a reason. We know their game plan. We've got their playbook. We know how to beat them, okay? And that's why they want us off air. When they tune into us, the DOJ and the FBI and all that, and the CIA, they're like, how the hell does this guy know everything we're doing? Well, that's what I do for 30 years. I study this. And so we've got their number better than they've got it. And a lot of people in the government are not even bad. They're compartmentalized. And that's why they hate my show, is that good agents and people and people in the bureaucracy hear it and go, well, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And we help wake them up to a full extent and let them know what's happening. There is a multinational global BlackRock takeover of the world happening, not just America. And they're bringing in the world government, the cashless society, the ESGs, the central bank digital currencies. And I've been telling you about this for 30 years because it was their battle plan. So we have a lot of credibility right now, you know, saying Alex Jones is right. And so they're in full panic mode. And so, again, this is crazy. It's all in God's hands. They lie in these federal filings just constantly. Remember them saying I had $300 million, then $400 million hit, and I was going to go to jail. None of that was true. Now they're making up new lies for old. It's just an amazing moment in history with, what, 142 days or 3 days out from this. Rob Agueros, you want to say a few comments here?
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous how they're even able to get away with this. Like, how is America letting any of this happen? How are these politicians on the left or the right, especially the right, they want to talk about their freedom of speech and they're for the people, but yet they're going to let the biggest activist for humanity go through this ritual that just has these Democrats seething and they're foaming at their mouths just to take down InfoWars and Alex. And I just don't understand how they can just get away with this, like nothing. Like,
well, I don't want to say I'm the biggest. There's like Elon Musk, Tucker Carlson, and Joe Rogan, but definitely I'm one of the main targets. And if they can get me, they can get everybody, Rob.
Yeah, and that's what they're trying to do. And like Trump says, you know, they're after you, and, you know, Alex is just in your way.
That's right. Chase, you want to make some comments real quick?
Sure. Well, it's an honor and pleasure to be here on this historic day, and it's been awesome working for InfoWars. And, you know, the more they push against us, the tighter they squeeze, the more starships slip through their fingers. Like
the more systems slip through their fingers.
Right. The more star systems slip between their fingers. So this is ultimately going to be a good thing. We're going to prevail on the other side. It's just painful to see this and experience it on the path to victory, but yeah, we are on the path to victory.
Because this is real tyranny.
Yes.
Absolutely. Any other observations?
That's it.
This is just a big deal, folks. So thank you for all your support. They're flipping out that I have DrJonesNaturals.com as a sponsor. My dad set up the supplement company. My dad sells his supplements through InfoWars. I promote both of them. We have a contract for advertisers to do it. They file the fake report claiming it's, you know, criminal, and they caught us. You know, we caught you with public advertising on my own X account promoting InfoWars without being paid. My company's been taken over for 2 years by the court. And so I'm just promoting it and making all this money to keep it running, trying to make a settlement. And they go, wait, we caught you with this Dr. Jones Naturals. So it's just next level. But support our sponsor, drjonesnaturals.com, because my dad's been a great guy. He's fought hard, and, you know, obviously that's important. But also support InfoWarsStore.com. Though, if they shut it down today, I would imagine the court will keep it going and ship out whatever products were already ordered. But I don't know. I mean, it's InfoWars is pretty shot up right now. It's sinking. And they figured out, well, wait, he still has social media. He's still, I can still go any show I want. I can just, whatever. Go ahead and see if you take away real Alex Jones and then see what happens. I mean, but again, they think one-dimensionally. They never seem to stop. But this has got to backfire, or it'll set a precedent for this whole Soros-funded operation / Clinton operation to shut down anything they want and take anybody's social media they want. And literally steal your identity and then misrepresent who you are. That's the bad part about censorship. It's not just that you're silenced. It's that they can say whatever they want about you with impunity and build these straw men. All right, God bless. I'll see you at Real Alex Jones. And be sure and watch the Tucker Carlson interview, the Russell Brand interview from yesterday. They're amazing. They're both on Real Alex Jones. Please spread them.
So there's Alex Jones on his way to find out the fate of InfoWars. Again, we should be hearing from him at 10 o'clock the latest. And we'll keep you up to date on it. We'll get into your daily dispatch here. It hasn't really hit me yet. I mean, it's been such a roller coaster for years at this point. That's like, until we can't get in the building, can't turn the equipment on, it's like hard to believe that it's true. I don't know. I keep having people ask me, like, what's the morale like at the office? I'm like, I don't even know. How are we feeling, guys?
We're redefining demoralized.
What does that mean?
No, we're good. We're winter patriots. We don't feel demoralization. We don't feel happiness.
We just have our duty. We just carry out our responsibility.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It is kind of like that. It's like in Japan, I'm pretty sure, when a person's on death row, they don't actually give them a date at which they'll be killed. So they just wait, and every day they could get the knock on the door that their execution chamber is prepared. That's kind of how it feels, I guess. I guess that's kind of how it feels. So yeah, this could be it. This could be the final showing of American Journal. And in fact, guys, I just put in a video into the folder called Thumbnail Time Lapse, because I was going through, and of course I'm downloading all the archives because they're trying to take our social media. They'll likely shut down band.video and infowars.com. So if there's anything you want to archive, be doing it now. Of course, this is something that I've largely been putting off for the last 4 years. And yeah, you could go ahead and play this thumbnail video at about 3x speed. The best to do is to go about 3x speed, because every one of these thumbnails, folks, is about 2.5 hours of talking. Look at the amount of work we've put in. Look at the amount of work that we have done, the amount of hours that we have spent talking on this program. It just goes on and on. And it was fun because while I was downloading it, I was, you know, you see the way the thumbnail changes. You see the different styles, all the various sort of genres that we roll through. At one point, it gets all, here it is, gets all colory and neon. Other points, it's like rainbow colored. And it's amazing because as you're watching this, it all like blends together, but you can pause it at any point and see how every thumbnail is, in fact, a work of art. Just like everything we do to the nth degree. We are sticklers for detail here. But it's still going. It's still going. Hundreds upon hundreds of hours of discussion. And the other amazing thing is, if you, there's the rainbow, there's our rainbow phase. We're going through a rainbow phase there, mixing it up, constantly changing things. I don't know. There was never like a set plan, as far as I know. Maybe you guys did have some scheme behind all of this, but you know, it was never like, okay, once a week we need to change up our, you know, how the thumbnail looks. And there it is, the first full show, and then the moon
because I was recording on OBS and that was my background. And it's amazing because if you go back and read the titles, it's like, in a way, it's kind of like, oh my God, we've been talking about the same thing for 4 years, because a lot of the titles are like very similar, but it just shows that we knew exactly what was going to happen from the very beginning. I mean, you got titles, you know, in early 2021 where it's like, you know, they're impeaching Donald Trump and they're setting the groundwork for legal attacks against Trump. They're going to try to tie him up in court cases. Like every title is like a prophecy. It's like we just nailed everything from the very beginning. Nailed absolutely everything. What other media outlet can sit here without a teleprompter and speak for literally hundreds upon hundreds of hours and be able to look back at basically any minute of it and go, yeah, yeah, that was right. Yeah, we nailed it, actually. Actually, we knew exactly what was happening from years ago and tried desperately to warn everybody to head this off. So I think we can all be very proud of what we've accomplished here at American Journal, except for that one time I knocked my glasses off. There hasn't even been an embarrassing moment, as far as I can tell. Maybe I should be embarrassed, but I'm not. So, let's, and of course they have it, and of course they have it direct. Yeah, the one time I messed up, hundreds upon hundreds of hours of live television, and one time I knocked glasses off. You guys have no idea some of the stuff that we've been able to conceal through movie magic. There have been times where I've gotten severe nosebleeds moments before gigantic interviews, but we handle it. You have no idea. You have absolutely no idea. Never once have I knocked my coffee all over my laptop in hundreds of hours of sitting here with this incredibly dangerous setup. Anyway, I'm just reminiscing now, as you do. This is our life flashing before our eyes. And again, it really hasn't even hit me yet. And I think, I mean, the thing I'll miss most is honestly just this place. Having a place to go that's filled with people that you don't have to, like, you can just be yourself around. It's been very fun. So let's just do like we always do. Start off with your daily dispatch. All right, here it is, folks. Your daily dispatch for Friday, the 14th of June, 2024. Sandy Hook families want to seize Alex Jones's social media accounts. Families of the Sandy Hook massacre victims want to seize Alex Jones's social media accounts in his bankruptcy, saying that the conspiracy theorist's frequent posts to fans are a key part of the InfoWars business being liquidated to pay Jones's debt. Jones, who filed for bankruptcy protection 17 months ago, has given up on trying to reach a settlement that would reduce the $1.5 billion he owes to the relatives of the 20 students and six staff members killed in the 2012 mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. Jones and the Sandy Hook families now agree that Jones's assets should be liquidated in bankruptcy, but the families on Wednesday asked a U.S. bankruptcy judge in Houston, Texas, to additionally take control of Jones's X account and prevent Jones from using it to promote new business ventures. So the mask is just fully off at this point, I guess, as obviously if the point of this was that they are owed $1.5 billion as compensation for Alex Jones questioning the official narrative of Sandy Hook, which, by the way, obviously has had massive backlash. I had not seen anything about Sandy Hook for a very long time. I see stuff every day now questioning the Sandy Hook shooting. So this is nonsense. This is backwards. It's all backwards. And the most backwards thing is that if the point is to get $1.5 billion for compensation for damages, why are you trying to stop him from making money? They're saying in this article and in this court filing that they literally don't want him to ever be able to make money again. How many ways is this screwed up and nonsensical? For one thing, talk about cruel and unusual punishment. rapists and murderers still get to have social media. You don't get to seize somebody's social media if they commit a crime against you. This is nonsense. It's completely insane. Alex said yesterday in a video, you know, this is like the modern equivalent of being able to mail a letter through the post office. That's the way to think about this. This is the way that you reach out to the world. This is the way people communicate. They want to take Alex Jones's identity. Because why? Because he questioned a major news story 10 years ago, 12 years ago. This is stupid. It's like the fact that they're even requesting this means that they're not operating in good faith, obviously. Obviously, right? They actually, where's the actual quote here? They ruled that most of the debt will survive after liquidation because it resulted from willful and malicious conduct. Jones has estimated he has less than $12 million in assets. Sandy Hook families intend to continue collection actions against Jones's future income and pursue additional payments from Jones's wife, father, employees, and other associates to whom Jones allegedly diverted assets. Chapter 7 liquidation will enable Sandy Hook families to enforce judgments now and into the future while also depriving Jones of the ability to inflict mass harm as he's done for some 25 years, Chris Matei, attorney for the Sandy Hook families, has said. Which he means speak out against the lies of the mainstream media. They want to deprive the ability of Jones to make money doing his job. Again, this would be outrageous if it was a murder, an actual crime. And we can go through the whole thing, but like it sort of mirrors to me just what's going on in the world at large, where you always think they've reached the depths of insanity, only to find out that there's farther to go. Every step of this has been insane. It's like they're suing. That doesn't make any sense. Suing for defamation? Well, that really doesn't make any sense. We never even said the guy's name. So this will get thrown out because you have to say that, oh, no, they're just overriding that rule. Okay. All right. Well, you know, at least we'll have a trial. Oh, no, wait, they declared us guilty without having a trial. All right. Well, at least we can avoid the process of a trial. Oh, no, they're still having a trial. It's just not on guilt. They've already declared us guilty. Now we're having a show trial. Determine how much we owe, okay? This is all baffling and confusing and nonsensical and illegal, as far as I can tell, against the proper function of law. But okay, just do the show trial and all right, then get a couple million dollars. $1.5 billion, up to $2 trillion. That was one of the requesting judgments, more than the GDP of India. So it just gets more and more insane, like every day. It's madness. It's utter and complete madness. It makes no sense from any angle that you look at it. This is the families trying to get money while they're actively stopping Alex Jones from getting the money that they would receive. So that doesn't make any sense. You're not supposed to lose your ability to communicate with other people because you've been accused of a crime. It's just even a crime. I mean, it's just, anyway, none of it makes any sense. It's obviously just completely just tyranny. I mean, this is just what tyranny looks. This is what tyranny looks like. This is how it works. This is how it operates. And obviously, if they set the precedent with Alex Jones, they can set the precedent with anybody. They can take Tucker Carlson's show. They can take Joe Rogan's social media. And of course, you think, well, that's crazy. There's no way that that could be the case. Well, why not? A judge sends an order to Twitter. Twitter goes, okay, this has a rubber stamp from a judge. Better do it. Twitter has the controls. They can deprive you of, they can kick you off the internet or deprive you of your account. So they can do it if they want. They could absolutely do it. It makes sense in the most vague way in terms of like if you had a shoe company and it got sued and you had to give all of the shoe company to the plaintiffs, then they would get like the social media of the shoe company, I guess. But this is his personal account. You don't get the personal account of the person that runs the company. That's insane. And they even say, like, accounts of his employees. How ridiculous is that? Like, are they saying my Twitter account is somehow the property of InfoWars. That's complete and utter nonsense. Maybe other media companies have things where, like, we own all the content you create, but not here. Certainly not here. But they go for anything. What they get actually approved of is, we'll still wait to see. Meanwhile, we've got this story. House Republicans could seek vote on AG Garland's arrest. Well, good. Then I could be happy about this. Just do it. Arrest him. He is usurping your power as Congress. He is imposing one branch of government superiority over the other for the sake of the checks and balances intrinsic and necessary to our system. You have to flex your power. You have to hold them to account. You have to actually be the check that balances this power dynamic. Meanwhile, Pentagon ran secret anti-vax campaign to incite fear of China vaccines, which is just bonkers. The U.S. military launched a clandestine program amid the COVID crisis to discredit China's Sinovac inoculation, payback for Beijing's effort to blame Washington for the pandemic. One target was the Filipino public. Health experts say the gambit was indefensible and put innocent lives at risk. You know what? This may have been the most heroic thing the U.S. military has ever done. They may have saved more lives through that PSYOP than through 20 years of murdering people in the desert. Meanwhile, Tesla shareholders approved big stock package for Musk. Tesla shareholders have reaffirmed a pay award of more than $45 billion for Elon Musk, the chief executive, after it was thrown out on a legal challenge. The vote result, announced at Tesla's annual meeting at its headquarters in Austin, Texas on Thursday, is a strong sign that shareholders still believe in Mr. Musk, and it could persuade the judge who voided the award to reinstate it. It could, but we're living under judicial tyranny, so why will it? Why would it? It's not going to. They are trying to destroy Elon Musk for giving a platform to people like Alex Jones. So they're going after Tesla, not because Tesla did anything wrong, but because Elon Musk has to be smacked in the nose like a dog. Finally, U.S. sends submarines to Cuba after Russian ships arrive, while the Navy is preparing their pride celebration. And I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines now. We'll be joined by Gavin McGinnis and Kriston T. Harris in the next hour, and we'll be hearing from Alex Jones at the 10 o'clock hour, but it can't be the last episode of American Journal without taking some phone calls. 1-877-789-2539, 1-877-789-2539. Give us a call now, and we'll go to those just as soon as they start rolling in. First come, first serve, 1-877-789-2539. Call in now to be a part of what could very well be the last broadcast of American Journal. We don't know. We don't know. Like Alex said in that video, could be that they want to offload some of the, you know, products, so they want to keep us in operation. But, I mean, I don't know. Are we going to even do that? Yeah, I mean, we were joking yesterday about going on strike. I don't know. If they sign over InfoWars to someone else today, we may have to stage a peaceful protest of some sort. So it might be the last show, one way or another. So guys, Young, bring up the call screen, and just as soon as they get in, we'll just screen as many as possible, as quickly as possible, and get to the phone calls just as soon as they're up. And we do have a lot of news to get to. But, you know, it's the same stuff that we've been covering for 4 years, and it's the same reaction from the powers that be, doing nothing to stop the obvious threats to us coming from every direction. And I almost feel like we need AI to sort through this stuff, because like the human brain can't even comprehend the number of threats that we're under. I'll be sitting there just looking at, I don't know, just warfare or censorship or whatever, and you're just like, oh my God, everything's so terrible. And you're like, oh right, immigration. Oh yeah, also immigration. Also the poison in the food and water. Also the trans kids. Also the collapse of media and movies. And it's just everywhere, constantly, all the time. Just corruption, evil. It's crazy. It is really crazy. This is actually kind of a good summation of like what we're dealing with here. So G7 is going on in Italy right now. The group of seven, the seven most powerful economies. Diplomats say Biden's G7 behavior is, quote, the worst they've ever seen. President Joe Biden, 81, is under fire for what many are calling his worst ever performance at the G7 summit in Puglia, Italy. During a photo op with world leaders, Biden appeared disoriented and he had to be guided back by Italy's Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni after wandering off. I never thought we'd get a, what's the amber alert for old people? The gray alert or something? Silver alert. Please keep your eye out for 81-year-old Joseph Biden, who went wandering off during a major geopolitical event and has not been seen. Video footage shows Biden turning away from the group during a parachute display, prompting puzzled reactions. He's just, it is really, honestly, insane. And you've got this image Rob Dew posted. Here's the status of the leadership of G7. We start off on the left with an unelected Eurocrat. Then the guy right next to him just lost an election. Trudeau has 50-year low poll numbers. Macron is next to him, who just lost an election. Giorgia Meloni is the only one with any standing to actually be there. She actually won the election. That just happened recently. Biden's next to her and is obviously too senile to stand trial for the crimes that he's admitted to having committed. Next to him, somebody with a 26% approval rating. Next to him is Rishi Sunak, who's about to lose the election in his home country. And then flanking them on the right is another unelected Eurocrat. So this is our democracy. A bunch of people despised by their own populations or totally unelected, dictating for everybody what the world's policy is going to be. And the most powerful among them has no idea where he is and poops his pants. Amazing. Truly incredible. Let's go out to your phone calls, shall we? We'll start with Tim in Seattle. Wants to talk about a InfoWars reunion. Yeah, do you mean a funeral? Do you mean a wake of some sort? Thanks for calling in, Tim. You're on the air.
No, I'm not talking about a wake or anything. I'm talking about an actual get together, like tomorrow. I mean, you guys should just keep going. Just don't give up, right? So, but actually, in a year, you guys should do, if it actually gets shut down and everything, you guys should do like yearly 6 months reunions and stuff like that. It'd be a big special. The internet would eat it alive.
Not a bad idea. I wonder where we'll be from a year from now. I wonder if we'll make it a year from now.
You'll still be kicking ass. And I just wanted to say that InfoWars is the greatest expression of human, you guys are basically the biggest expression of human intelligence ever. I mean, say the Tavistock Institute, you guys have been amazing. You've done such an amazing job for humanity, saving millions of lives. Love you guys. I'll let you go, but God bless. InfoWars will live on forever.
Amen. Thank you, Tim. And yeah, thank you for everything that you've done in the past as well. And that really is, of course, the power and the threat of InfoWars, the fact that we encourage our audience to get organized, protest, spread the word in your personal life. Don't be shy about this stuff. Don't be depressed about this stuff. Get involved. Get active. Make a change. Alter the course of human history. We've done it before. And we'll do it again. Charlie in Chicago on line four says he's been trying to call in for 4 years. Well, here at the just under the just under the wire, Charlie.
It's
thanks for calling in.
It's a Christmas miracle, my friend. I'd be at hold for like a half hour, 45 minutes. Could never make it quite through. Found you guys during COVID. I stopped watching the news. This is it. I listen to you guys from 8 a.m. till 6 p.m. It's unfortunate, but I know that I'll be able to find you guys again. And I have stickers still throughout all of the Chicago Land suburbs on stop signs everywhere. Arrest Fauci. COVID-19 is a hoax. Just to be able to get on now, potentially the last day. But man, you crush it. You guys are hilarious, funny, but you're also presenting really good things, man. And I just, it's not a sad day because I know that this is only going to make this bigger. It just sucks. The infrastructure is probably not going to be there, right? Like,
yeah.
There's not a Bandat video I'll be able to go to. I'll have to listen through Twitter or whatever. But thanks for everything you do, the crew, everything, my friend.
Well, thank you. And I'll tell you, nothing warms my heart like seeing an InfoWars sticker in the wild. It's a little symbol that there's, you know, a little signal out there. There's other patriots in the area. It's a beautiful thing.
I will DM you on Twitter. Every time I drive by certain areas and they're still there, and I put them up 4 years ago, I'll send you some photos.
Yeah, please do. And of course, yeah, connect to all of us on Twitter. That's the best way to X, whatever. That's the best way to stay connected. Follow me at Harrison H. Smith. If this thing shuts down today, obviously, you know, we'll have to be doing some stuff this weekend. But I know for Owen and I, we both sort of just intend to keep doing our shows, but by ourselves, and that's going to be very difficult and means that the quality of everything is going to go down significantly. By the fact that
I'm not going to have Sean to pick my music anymore.
Say it again.
Do it where people have to, dude. I'll throw you $20 a month. I'm sure you'll get kicked off of all the Patreon type stuff, but find a way to, we can still support you and support your family, man.
Well, I'll be streaming on Rumble at Moonbase Live. I'll have all of a URL for you at some point. So I've been putting this off, I guess. I was just thinking about this because I was watching some show from just like a few years ago, maybe like 30 Rock or something. I guess it's like 10 years old, 20 years old at this point. I guess it's pretty old at this point. Doesn't feel that old to me. Feels fairly modern, the jokes they're making and the references they're making. But then they'll make these references about people and you're just like, who are they even talking about? And if you watch old like late night shows, especially from like the 90s, it's not that long ago, 30 years or something. You're lucky if you know one out of five of the people they mention. It's so funny. You know, celebrities just come and go. And at the time, they seem like everywhere. They seem like some sort of historical figure. And then like 2 years later, you forget that they even existed. These big things that are like cultural moments that you hear about every day for months. And then it's like, well, you know, kids born, you know, 10 years before, just no idea. And it obviously just gets the worse the farther you go back to where you won't recognize a single name if you're watching a late night show from earlier than like the 90s. It's just like, we've got the one and only Ben Mitzvitz. And you're like, what? Who? It's like, oh my God, it's him. And it's like, these guys. So the cultural forces in America especially, it's just a constant swirl of names and faces that just mean nothing. And just 5 years later, it's a whole new crop of names and faces and nobody knows who the hell the old people are. And then there's a couple names. There's like the Beatles and the Elvis Presleys, the John Waynes, whose names endure because of their popularity. And then there's people like Alex Jones and Donald Trump, whose names are going to go down in history. And even if the names don't go down in history, the effect that Alex Jones has had is responsible for the media landscape, and people might not even know it, but he's responsible for the landscape they're operating in. So it's not just like he's just some celebrity guy that nobody's going to know about in 5 years. He has actually changed the world. We have actually changed the world. Me as an audience member for 15 years before I ever worked here. You as somebody who takes this message and spreads it and embodies it and lives it. This is not just the passing of some culturally insignificant micro celebrity. This is epic, world-changing events that you're witnessing. And it's just incredible to see. So I just don't want to get lost in the mix of all of this and forget what a monumental and indeed historical organization this has been. It will go down in history. And with that, we go out to your phone calls. Once again, Brian in Missouri has called in to give us some suggestions, I guess. Go ahead, Brian. You're on the air.
Good morning, Harrison. Good to speak to you for the first time. How are you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Something I've been kind of thinking about, I think everybody kind of needs to, you know, think of their own little way to kind of put it in all the normies' faces on how, you know, this country has just gone to, you know, gone complete SOL. And so my thing is I think everyone should go get one of them Velcro patch hats, just Velcro patch ball cap, and get an American flag patch and put that thing upside down, put it in everybody's face, make them see it.
That's a good way to do it. I've been seeing people on social media posting the InfoWars logo upside down. InfoWars is in distress. That's the beauty of...
That was actually another thing.
Yeah, that's the beauty of the fact that we hand out a big stack of stickers with every order, pretty much, and have for years, is there's going to be no shortage of bumper stickers and stop sign vandals into the future. I doubt we'll ever stop seeing InfoWars stickers.
Actually, it's a great way. It's a great way to add value to your vehicle, right? These things are going to be collectible. You could have a collectible bumper.
That's right. You can have a collectible vehicle. It'll actually. It's like putting holy water on something. It'll scare the demons away. Yeah, so InfoWars is in trouble.
Let me take that one step further, real quick.
Go ahead.
Any InfoWars out here that are into 3D printing, make InfoWars logos. Get Infusion 360 or whatever CAD program, make InfoWars logos, put them on your cars, put them everywhere, plaster them everywhere.
Amen. Yeah, now is the time to speak up. And I'd even say, like, call your congressman. Like, I don't understand how politicians aren't getting involved in this. They see how popular Alex Jones is. Like, do they realize how much... Even just, and I'm just speaking to them in a purely cynical, you know, realpolitik level. Like, do they not want the popularity that comes along with at least speaking out against what's going on to Alex Jones at the very minimum? And could they not pull some, you know, they have a lot of authority. Like, senators can do a lot of things. Congressmen can do a lot of things. They've got, you know, rights that regular Americans don't have in terms of being able to go places that normal people aren't allowed. You know, fire people, order people around, stop processes from happening. Like, where are the politicians speaking out against this? Because obviously this is setting a precedent. Obviously they're going to go after everybody as soon as they succeed with Alex Jones. This should be obvious. It should be I wish we had an AIPAC person. Gee, I wish we had a representative of some sort that actually cared about the things we care about and our concerns and the things that are happening to us. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if we had an AIPAC person in Congress? Thank you for the call, Brian. Let's go to Tony in Texas now. Line number 4. You want to talk about the attack on InfoWars being an attack on God, country, and family. Go ahead, Tony. You're on the air.
Exactly. That's what y'all represent, and that's why you're being attacked. You represent daily God, country, family, and the Constitution, and you expose all the evil that attacks the good people of this country that believe in God, country, family, and the Constitution. And, you know, there should be a million people in Austin this weekend taking this damn state back from those evil globalist Bush boys that run this state. None of them are going to step up and even say a word about what's happening to you. And just think about it, people. This is the great red conservative state of Texas where all this BS is happening in. And not one politician or nobody's going to stand up for the right thing.
I know. It's pathetic, and you're right about what we stand for, and it makes it easy, doesn't it? It makes it easy when you have a firm foundation to always, always go back to, always reorient yourself to. It's like having a North Star. I mean, without the Constitution, without basic fundamental moral truths, it'd be easy to be swayed by anger or fear or whatever and just go, well, we should just kill them all. We should just attack. We should just whatever. But it's like you always just go back to, like, what does the Constitution say? What maximizes freedom in this situation, you know, what is the moral center of the argument? And everything can circulate around that. Without that, you're dislocated, you're unmoored, you can go anywhere and everywhere. It's very easy to understand how to feel about a certain thing when you have something like the Constitution to be your compass, to guide your path. Thank you so much, Tony, for the call. Let's go to Jen in Georgia on line 11. Jen, thank you for calling in. You're on the air.
Matthew 10:28 says, "And do not fear those who can kill the body, but not the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy the body and soul in hell." So I just want to encourage you guys to stay courageous. These guys can't do anything to any of us as long as we have God in our hearts and Jesus in our hearts. And we just have to accept him as our Lord and Savior. I was going to mention, though, the last few days I've been hearing you ask the question, what social media website have we, do we know of who hasn't been under this kind of persecution? And one I wanted to point out so far, and I won't be surprised if they're next, but Stephen Crowder with Loud Earth Crowder. And I know that Alex is supposed to be going with him on Mug Club. I want to know, and you probably won't be able to speak on behalf of Alex on that, but do you know what his future plans are being with Stephen Crowder at Mug Club?
I don't know. I mean, if you watch Alex Jones Show, you know as much as I do, basically, and you can read into it however you want. I'm not going to speculate, but I think there's a couple names that Alex could go with. I think it's up to him as to which platform he chooses, but I think Crowder is an option. I think Tucker is an option. I think there are maybe some others. Maybe Joe Rogan's an option, but I don't know. I don't have any behind the scenes details on that. Everything that he said to us behind the scenes is the same as that he said on air, in terms of not having any concrete plans, not really doing much at all in terms of preparation for this, but rather just like a captain going down with the ship and then deciding what's next. Thank you for the call, Jen. We'll be back on the other side. I think we'll take calls for the first 5 minutes of the next hour before we welcome Kriston T. Harris. So stay on the line. We'll go to a couple more phone calls in the first five for this, perhaps, could be, we don't know, final episode of American Journal. Stay with us, folks. All right, welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go out to your phone calls for 5 minutes before being joined by Kriston T. Harris. If you're just joining us, Alex Jones is en route to Houston, Texas right now. We should be hearing from him in about 1 hour with an announcement and an update. Not sure if the decision will be made by then, but we will at least be hearing from him. But I want to take a few more of your phone calls, as that, of course, was the intention at the start of American Journal, was to sort of mimic the Washington Journal on C-SPAN in being a open line phone call, a conversation with the audience as we make use of this human intelligence network that is the InfoWars audience. We go now to Jerry in Oklahoma, who's been listening to Alex Jones since 2009. Welcome to the show, Jerry. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. The first story I heard from Alex Jones was when he exposed the Bilderbergs and Obama and Clinton. And then all of a sudden, right after that, she dropped out of the race. And I had somebody call me about a month ago and tell me, because I told him about what Alex had talked about then, and he told me I was right about several other things. And I steered him to the Alex Jones Show. So I love Alex Jones. I love listening to him.
Oh, thank you, Jerry. And isn't it amazing? 2009. What a long time ago that was. A different world back then, wasn't it?
Absolutely. So much has changed, and excuse the expression, gone to hell, or going ahead in that way.
Yep.
All the lawfare and what they're doing to Alex is horrible.
Well,
I'll start a platform for him.
Right. And the beautiful thing about InfoWars, I mean, the reason they're trying to destroy is because we're like this nexus. We're this node that lets other people know that there's tens of millions of people just like them in the country. You wouldn't know that if you turn on mainstream media. Mainstream media does a very good job of making it look like everybody's on the same page. We're all super liberal and gay. And InfoWars is here as this node of millions of people who just genuinely and sincerely believe in the things that made this country great in the first place. The basic morality and ethics of Americana, and by destroying this, they dislocate that network, And it really is a tragedy because it's connection with you fine folks that makes all of this worth it and makes us so powerful. So they're getting what they want, but one day they'll get what they deserve. Go ahead, final thought, Jerry.
Alex always says he must be right over the target because they keep going after him.
100%.
So keep doing what y'all are doing.
Well, we will.
Keep going after him.
As long as we possibly can. Thank you so much for the call, Jerry. Let's go to Nathaniel in Alabama now. Nathaniel, thanks so much for calling in. You're on the air.
Hey, that's
fine. Howdy.
Just wanted to say thank you for all that you've done. When I first started listening to InfoWars, I wasn't a huge fan of yours. I just wanted to listen to Alex. And now whenever I get the chance to sleep in, I'm like, oh, no, I'm just American Journal. So.
Well, I don't blame you. I was watching some of our earlier shows the other day. It was rough. That's still a little bit rough, but that's okay. That's I think it gives us credibility. We're not the polished, you know, highly produced normal news. We are just some dudes from Texas that want to speak our mind and have way too fancy studios for our own good. But thank you for that. How long have you been listening?
Truly inspiring. About 5 years now.
What got
I'm
you
only 24, so.
What got you into it?
It was mostly COVID, but my grandma and mom always listened to Alex Jones when I was growing up. I can remember talking about chemtrails to my friends in like fifth grade, and they were like, "You're crazy."
Nathaniel was raised right. That's for sure.
Really?
Thank you very much for the call. It's amazing to me. You got people that have been listening for 20 plus years. You got people who just found us last week. I forget. It's like you would think that at this point you're either on board or not, but we're still getting new people every day. Every day there's new people finding out about Alex Jones and InfoWars or realizing that he was right the entire time. COVID was the greatest thing they could have ever done for the awakening. No idea how many people woke up in the last 5 years. And that's why they want us off the air for the next pandemic. Very happy to be welcoming my guest, Criston T. Harris. He's the host of The Rundown Live. You can check that show out at therundownlive.com. And you can follow Criston on X at Criston T. Harris, therundownlive.com, on Rumble at The Rundown Live. Welcome to the show, Criston.
Harrison Smith, thank you for all you've done. I want to give you guys a positive message. This is a time for celebration, not a time for, you know, disappointment and sad and defeat. Think about the reason why they're shutting down the People's Network. It's because we've been right about these billionaire pedophile scum and trafficking rings. It's because we've been right about the pandemic. It's because we've been right about 9/11, about GMOs, about drone programs, about the transhumanist movement and this disgusting government that is a two-party system funded by the same multinational corporatists. We've been right about fluoride in the water and all the poisons they put in the food, the designer babies and the horrible, horrible disproportionate destruction of God's creation. It's that satanic Illuminati secret society agenda that we've been warned about for generations, although there will never be another Alex Jones, just like there's never been another William Cooper or Myron C. Fagan or Jordan Maxwell or Anthony Hilder, all the greats. They have warned us over the years. A little bit of all of them are in us. This is the phoenix rising from the ashes. We need to get together and join together to fight these scum because this is not the end. This is a brand new beginning. This shows how important the information war is, that they have to censor our speech. They have to come after each and every one of us. We need to be angry. We need to fight. We need to come together and celebrate this victory. This is a victory to show how right Alex Jones has been, how right Harrison Smith has been, how right Owen Schroyer has been, how right the Rundown Live has been, and all these platforms that are around because of Alex Jones, because of the greats before. And if we take those spirits and the spirits of the Almighty God, we can come together and defeat these monsters, and we can do it today. I'm not sad, Harrison. I'm freaking excited to be in this war. The Rundown Live is still going to be there. You are still going to be there. Owen's still going to be there. And I tell you what, Alex Jones is just going to get bigger and badder and better. as he's going to be touring. I see he's coming to Milwaukee on September 16th. I will be there with to support Alex Jones, amongst other things. This is what the message is. We need to celebrate and be happy. People are all sad because it's getting shut down. I understand that. But the outlets for information still exist. You need to find them. You need to go to therumble.com/TheRundownLive. You need to download the past episodes of InfoWars. Anything that you find detrimental, InfoWars will continue to always predict the future. And you are all InfoWarriors out there at heart. I am. You are. Look in the mirror today. Today's the day to support the information war. If you're going to go to the InfoWars store, buy some, because today's the last day that those funds may go to the people at InfoWars. There are new babies at the employees of InfoWars. There's new marriages. All of that is going to be disintegrated. They need your prayers. We need your support. And I'm telling you, we can do this. Go to InfoWars store, buy some today. If you've been holding out and you're like, I don't want to give money to the government because they're taking it over, or because somebody else is buying the platform, today is the last day to support this information war. We need to get out there. We need to support this information war, and we need to make this happen. And we can only do it with your support. Go support InfoWars.com. Go follow TheRundownLive.com out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, because we're not going anywhere. Harrison Smith is not going anywhere. This is just defragmenting the InfoWar, and we're going to all build our own platforms. Now is the time to get into it. And I'm sorry to rant and rave, but it pisses me off that they have to come to these extremes. They have to cheat in order to beat us, because the truth is more powerful than their lies, Harrison. That is what it comes down to. And this is a small battle in God's war. And I'm telling you, when you're on the side of God, who can stand against you? And no one, no one can. And I'm telling you right now, no matter what happens, this is God's battle, and we're in the fight, and we can't give up. This is time for overdrive.
They do. They cheat to win, don't they? I think that's the exact right way to put it. This is the end of Gladiator, where they stab Russell Crowe in the side before sending him out to fight. They know that on a fair fight, they can't win. They have to pull these tricks. They have to pull these maneuvers. They have to try to hamper and cripple us. And I mean, I don't know, man. I'm constantly vacillating between just like, oh my God, it's over, and like, oh my God, it's over. I can expand. We can do bigger things now. Like I'm constantly like vacillating between, you know, being battered down by the you know, power of these people, and understanding that the harder they push, the harder we fight. And at the end of the day, they're trying to uphold a house of cards. It's going to collapse at a certain point. It's going to crumble at a certain point. You mentioned things like 9/11. I mean, the number of things Alex Jones has been right about is impossible to name in a three-hour show. It's too many things. One thing that my co-host at Moonbase Live, Lebanon John, has pointed out is that back in the day, not that long ago, maybe less than 10 years ago, if you said 9/11 was an inside job, you'd get eye rolls, you'd get people scoffing at you. That's not the case anymore, is it? Now, if you go out, if you think 9/11, the official story of 9/11 is legit, you're stupid. Everybody gets that that's not how it works. Everybody understands now that we don't have the full story about 9/11. They might not think that it was an inside job necessarily, but everybody gets that it was a fraud, that it was a lie, that it got us into a war. And there was never a moment that happened. There was never a single moment where it was like something was revealed and everybody all at once learned that 9/11 was an inside job. But something happened at some point in time. It's almost impossible to identify, but there was a tipping point. There was a critical mass beyond which the truth became ubiquitous. The truth about 9/11 went everywhere, and the official story died a lonely death. So this is how the information war works. There's not going to be one major victory where the world wakes up at once, but with enough repetition, with telling the truth over and over, pointing out the schemes behind so much of the stuff that we see going on in the world, enough information eventually reaches a critical mass, reaches that tipping point, and the world awakens to the truth. That's happened with 9/11. It's happened with COVID. It's still happening with the COVID vaccines. But slowly but surely, the lies collapse and the truth comes out, Kriston.
I got to correct you on something, Harrison. You're not being knocked down. You're being tempered like iron. It's not how hard you can hit. It's how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. And that's what I'm trying to tell you guys here in the information ward. We got to keep moving forward. And yes, There's been a spectacle of things Alex Jones has predicted. If it wasn't for two people, Alex Jones and Ron Paul, I wouldn't be in this fight today. There's other people out there that have supported the Rundown Live along the way, but I'm telling you, we are all in this together, and we can make this all work. This is a time for you to develop and build your platform. This is your time to grow and find new avenues and flourish. And I think that there are so many things out there that need to be brought to light yet. There's a new and evil things amiss, especially with this election coming up, with the United States in peril, with us being $1 trillion in debt, with the World Economic Forum, the Bilderberg Group meeting, the Bohemian Grove, all these things that Alex brought attention to that nobody would know about if it wasn't for InfoWars, if it wasn't for Harrison Smith, if it wasn't for my homie Owen Schroyer over there, if it wasn't for Don Salazar, if it wasn't for Rob Dew, if it wasn't for all the people throughout the years, Joe Biggs, if it wasn't for Jakari Jackson, if it wasn't for Leanne McAdoo, if it wasn't for Luke Radowski and all the people that have contributed to the platform, the Jason Burmeses of the world, we all need to come together. We're all growing. And even though it seems like we've been dealt a blow, it's okay. We're going to come back, and we're going to come back swinging even harder than ever. We're going to be better than ever. And I'm here to tell you that we need to dig down into our higher soul and fight this battle. We need to get down on our knees and humble ourselves behind God and receive his message and learn that this is what we need to do, because there's a lot of people out there that are not doing what they're supposed to be doing with their life, Harrison. But we've decided to follow the calling. My buddy G. Edward Griffin used to call it the crusader gene. We are following what God intended us to do, no matter what the cost, no matter what the penalty. And that is what's going to make us great, is that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing here in this life. And that's what every listener out there needs to be doing. Not everyone can support the info war day to day like we do, but there are different ways of doing it. And I mentioned some of those earlier.
Yeah, and you know, there's, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I imagine other people feel the same way, where it's like, I almost need to be forced into doing something. You know, there's always this thing, it's like, well, you know, I probably should start, you know, doing something. I probably should do this, and it'd be fun to do this. But then it's not until you're, like, forced into it, until it feels like God is literally like, all right, I'm going to take away your comfort, so now you have to do it. I'm going to take away what you've been relying on, the thing you've been dependent on, the thing that's allowed you to be comfortable. Now that I take that away and put you in the fire, now you're going to have to act. And I feel like that's how I feel. I know that's probably how Owen feels, probably how Alex feels. And I feel like there's a lot of people out there, too, that feel this way as well, where they like want to do something, but they're not quite sure, but they, you know, maybe will in the future. And it's almost like, I don't know, personally, I need to have no other options. I just, there's some about me where I'll take what I can get while I can get it. But then once it's gone, it's like fun. It's like exciting. And I don't want to say I'm excited about InfoWars going down, but it is, there is something energizing about not having an option. About it not being an option, like, oh, I'll just keep going to work. Now I'll just keep doing that. I'll do my show, and that's good enough. You know, it's like then they take that away, and it's like, oh, okay. So now I gotta hit the accelerator. Now I don't have an option to just sit back and relax. It feels like we're being forced into that, and it feels like humanity is being forced into that. It feels like the things that people are relying on, the police and the hospitals, I mean, these things are failing, and it's not going to be an option to just go along to get along anymore. The normalcy bias is going to dissolve, and people are going to be forced into a position where you have to act, and that's where people really, you know, show how powerful they can be. And I don't know, what do you think about that, the idea that all of humanity and America in particular is being forced into this position where we can't take the easy road anymore. We have to take the hard road, and we have to expand. We have to level up. We have to get better, stronger, faster, smarter. And so we're going to. And so we're going to rise to meet that challenge.
Well, the key is going through the road less traveled, right? Because that's where we're at right now, Harrison. We're at the road less traveled. We don't have an option to quit. This is who we are. This is what we do. And if we do anything else, we are miserable in life because we're not following what God intended us to do. If we're not out there exposing these pedophile children trafficking rings that are out there, if we're not out there exposing these billionaire scum, if we're not out there exposing these Bilderbergers and the World Economic Forum and everything else, these multinational corporatists who are lobbying both sides of politicians, there's no difference between the Republicans and Democrats. Well, who's going to do it? Everyone's going to be conditioned to be social engineered, to be some form of sheep. And I'm not a sheep. and I'm not going out down without a fight. And if they're going to come for Alex, they're coming for me, and they're coming for everyone else out there. Every one of us has felt Alex Jones. They first censored Alex Jones, who hasn't been in Facebook jail, right? We've all felt the pain. And if we don't say anything and we don't stand up and we don't build these platforms, you know, they're gonna just roll right over us. But that's not going to happen. There's always going to be the Kristan T. Harris's, the Harrison Smiths, the Dan Dicks. We can go on and on with all these people that have impacted we can go on and on with all these guys that have helped over the years. The Jason Basslers of the Free Thought Project, everyone who's been censored under the guise of fake news, but really was aggregating the truth, and they don't want you to listen to.
Yep.
That's what we got to do. We got to keep pushing, man. There's no giving up. That's not an option. It's not an option, man. That's all I'm saying.
No, I completely agree. And it's not like you want to give up. I mean, giving up, like what? Who wants to give up? I mean, isn't it fun to do the thing that they tell you not to do? Am I weird in this, Kristan? I still have that petulance, that rebelliousness that seems to me, like it used to be at least, intrinsic in the American character of just, you're going to tell me not to do something, but not give me a reason. You're just going to demand I do something or not do something. I'm going to do the opposite. Whatever you're saying, I'm going to do the opposite. If nothing else, to prove that you can't control me. I wasn't even going to do the thing, but now that you've told me not to, I have to. I have to do it just so you don't think that you have power over me. I mean, that's the spark that we need to reignite. This sort of petulance, maybe not the right word, but contentious, like willingness to just stand up and face a crowd of people that are lying and to tell the truth. It empowers you to a degree that's like impossible to describe if you don't actually feel it, if you don't actually do it. And people have this fear, like, well, if I stand up, everybody's going to get mad and hate me or whatever. No, you don't understand. When you stand up and tell the truth, the people hating you is like applause. It's like it's the best feeling in the world to know that what you're saying is getting under their skin, because they're evil psychopaths that are lying and you're just telling the truth. I don't know. Where is this spirit? Where's the American spirit, Kristan? Where are the embers that we can, breathe on and bring to flame this burning ember of American consciousness?
I'm telling you right now, Harrison, that doing the opposite of what we are being told in the midst of evil dictatorship, of evil rules, is doing God's work. And we have to dig down deep. We need to temper our souls. We need to put on that full armor and learn how to do battle. And every day is a new lesson. And I'm telling you, being an anarchist isn't a terrible thing either. If they got rules that aren't justified, we need to find ways to change those rules legally. Now, I am going to set out a warning that now we have a lot of info warriors that are going to be going other places that could be easily misled by other shepherds. Mm-hmm. We need to be careful about which way you are directed. Remember when they banned all the independent media from being the barometer of what is real and what is not, and everyone went to 4chan and learned about some guy who bakes bread crumbs, and they spent time learning about the QAnon BS and trash, and they got misguided by some kind of probable government psyop? We need to be careful that the listeners out there find healthy networks. You need to find the people who've been on Infowars.com. You need to find the individuals and these organizations and follow them as they grow, because there is other shepherds. Somebody might buy this whole platform, Harrison, and they might put out complete trash. Who knows? We got to be careful. We need to support the right people. You need to dig down deep in your heart, and you need to be hesitant about some of the information that may be coming out, because people could be directed down some horrible rabbit holes. We need to be understanding and dig deep in our heart to really pray about what is coming out there as far as information, and question everything, listen to everyone, but don't believe it unless you can prove it with your own two hands. I'm worried about that aspect, that they will frame terrorism on some patriotic organization that's just trying to bring awareness. We need to find a way to peacefully protest, because I tell you what, the government has one tool in the toolbox, Harrison. You know what it is? It's a hammer. They don't know what to do with peaceful protests. They know how to instigate and cause problems to justify shutting down protests quickly, but they don't know how to deal with the peaceful protests that grow and get larger and larger. That's why they have agent provocateurs cause drama so cops can shut it down. I'm telling you, this this police state that Alex Jones predicted in Police State 1, 2, 3, and 4 is accurate. That Myron C. Fagan, who wrote books in the 60s called Police State 1 and 2, very accurate. This is the plan of the multinational corporatists to shut down America. And if we don't go willingly and get our social credit scores, if we don't accept fully automated luxury communism, there might be some crazy things that go on to justify shutting down freedom of speech. We need to fight for that freedom. We need to fight with our votes locally. We need to fight with our votes nationally. And we need to find a way to stand up. You guys need to be out there and protesting these topics that are important to the information war.
100%. I think that's actually a very good warning that I haven't thought too much about. And hopefully people take away from InfoWars. I mean, to be honest, not to be like self-aggrandizing or anything like that, but, you know, there's the meme of Rick and Morty where it's like, you got to have a high IQ. But you really do have to have an intelligence to participate in the information war. It can be dangerous for dumb people to be exposed to this very powerful information. You got to be able to consciously like parse information, be able to think, okay, why is this being said to me? Who is saying it? What do they want to convey to me? And is that good or bad? What are their intentions? Like, you have to be able to take what Alex Jones has said, not just listen to him and believe what he says completely, but understand how he comes to his conclusions and be able to follow that same path. Because I think you're right. And look, I'm still going to do a show. Owen's still going to do a show. Alex is going to do a show. There are people like yourself that have been on InfoWars or sort of have the InfoWars stamp of approval as being on the right path here. But there are a lot of other people who either are too extreme where they get bad optics and it's going to just sort of be worse than doing nothing, is taking these extreme positions. The therapeutic nihilism or overtreatment, as always, relate to the Hippocratic Oath, or the side that says they're the truth tellers, says they're the dissidents, but are really subtly feeding you back into the machine and telling you things that aren't true, like QAnon, trust the system, white hats, don't do anything, stay at home, go to sleep, it's all under control. So you've got to be careful, you've got to be able to see through these things. What advice would you have for people on just how to approach news stories, news organizations, or individuals in order to determine whether or not they are truly on the side of human freedom or whether they are, because the other thing is that everybody's suspicious of everybody, then nobody gets anything done. If everybody's a Fed, then you might as well give up. If every single thing that ever happens is a PSYOP, well, then that's not a way to live either. So, I mean, what advice do you have for people on moving forward, how to discern whether or not an organization or an individual is worth listening to?
Well, it's by the seeds that they plant and the trees that they grow, right? What are they? What are you planting in the garden of your mind? Are you getting GMO information that is growing corrupt ideas? And the big thing is being able to be self-analytical. Where were you wrong? Root out your cognitive dissonance, right? We have conflicting viewpoints. And when we learn things about conflicting viewpoints, the information and where we get it and where it's been wrong. Everyone's been wrong at some point, but it's correcting the mistake that is important. It's listening to everyone, but questioning everything and not believing it unless they can prove it with their own two hands that is important. And yeah, there's a conspiracy out there about everyone. There's a conspiracy out there about me. If people think Alex Jones is Bill Hicks, I mean, there's weird stuff out there for everyone. But I'm going to leave you with this. When I was growing up, I wanted to be a pastor and a preacher. My mom hit me up a few years ago, and she's like, how come you never followed God's plan? You're not a preacher. You're not a pastor. I said, Mom, I have a great congregation. They listen to the Rundown Live, and I'm responsible for a lot of people out there and what they believe and how they get their news and what's proper information. And so I'm going to tell you right now that you have a large flock of sheep, Harrison. Alex does as well, and so does Owen. And the question is where are we going to lead them in this crazy time, this time of censorship and these hard times, because this is us going through the desert for 40 years. We got to get out of it. We got to get out of it. And how are we going to find our way out of it? And I think it's by finding the direction of our heart, our crusader gene, and the direction that God wants us to go. Like, there's a lot of stuff out there happening right now.
What a wise piece of advice. What a great thing to say, and what a hilarious metaphor to draw, the being lost in the desert. Because that's how it feels sometimes. Sometimes it feels like you're breaking your back, going up Mount Sinai, trying to bring the truth to people, and you come back, and they're all worshiping a cow. And you're like, wait, what? Wait, I thought you were all on the same team. I thought everybody got what we were doing here. How did all of you get fooled all of a sudden? It really is like epic making. I mean, this is historical stuff that we're living through. Incredible stuff. Chris Dante Harris at Chris Dante Harris on X. The website is rundown, therundownlive.com, on Rumble at The Rundown Live. Thank you so much for bringing that positive energy to us today, Mr. Harris.
Love you guys. Love you guys. And it was always my dream to host an episode of The Alex Jones Show. And you guys made it possible. Thanks, Harrison. Love you guys with all my heart. We'll see you guys hopefully soon.
Thank you so much. We'll be joined by Gavin McGinnis on the other side, folks. Stay with us. That's Chris Don T. Harris at Chris Don T. Harris on X. Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back. My guest for the next 30 minutes is Gavin McGinnis. He's the host of Get Off My Lawn on Censored.TV, where you can find his show as well as many others with guests you've seen on this program, such as Devin Tracy, Owen Benjamin, Elijah Schaefer, and more, when you subscribe to Censored.TV. Gavin, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here, my man.
Well, it's a crazy time, man. We're starting World War III with Russia. There's what's going on in Gaza. There's open borders. The vaccine program is being exposed. They're trying to shut down the food systems. And to cover it all up, they're destroying independent media outlets like ours and many others. What do you see in the state of the world today, Gavin? Is this it? Is it a hopeless cause we're fighting here?
Well, this is a major funeral for freedom. That's why I'm dressed all in black. This InfoWars being punished for getting a story wrong out of the, 2 million stories that you guys have covered over the years. And think of all the stories other media outlets have gotten wrong. They're at a 99% wrong level these days. I was just reading about these Proud Boys were harassing this gay activist in Columbus, Ohio. And it turns out they were right. He was a pedophile, and he just got arrested and thrown in jail. All of this exposing malfeasance and corruption, the only hope for it is free speech and getting the word out. And so that is why you guys are being silenced. And that's why I'm being censored. That's why we're all banned from everything. Is the First Amendment is the most important amendment. It's the only way to rally the troops and get people fighting this globalist trend.
And is it the information or is it the spirit? Because the more I hear from people, the more I realize it's not even – I mean, the information is important, obviously. I mean, it is an information war. But that's not the thing that Alex Jones brought that was different than everybody else. It was the spirit of resistance. It's sort of the rambunctious, no-holds-barred, balls-to-the-wall, full-fledged attack that Alex Jones brings. It's the spirit of America that is really going to save us at the end of the day, isn't it?
Right, but – the spirit is there. It's about manipulating that spirit. So people naturally are worried about equality. They're worried about kids. They're worried about jobs. They want, especially in 2024, we're a very advanced society here in the West, and we want justice. We want to do the right thing. Right. So all they have to do is change what the right thing is. Trump is Hitler. Alex Jones is endangering the lives of families. Gavin is a Nazi. Proud Boys are murderers. If I can make all those things true by hammering you with false information, then I can take your spirit and direct it where I want it to go, which is to kill my enemies. So that's what they're doing. They're using fake news to destroy you, me, Trump, Alex. I just read today that they want to take control of his social media accounts.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
Of what they're trying to do. They're trying to divert the enthusiasm into their cause.
Right. No, you're exactly right. I was thinking about this yesterday because there was the video of the guys storming onto the baseball field, and it's like, you morons. But God bless them, right? They think what they're doing is saving the world. They are so convinced that, you know, climate is going to kill us, that the weather is going to kill us all. They're willing to risk arrest. They're jumping onto, they're throwing paint on paintings. I mean, the spirit is there. It is. It's been completely diverted towards these, frankly, retarded causes like climate change, when in reality, the real threat to all of humanity, they are in support of, and they're actually, you know, facilitating and allowing to happen and protesting in favor of. So you're exactly right. It's all about diverting this positive, good human energy that we all have and a desire to be a part of saving the world. And they just twist it and warp it until you're actually advocating in an extremely, you know, overwrought way, your own destruction. They really figured it out, didn't they, Gavin? They got the calculus down.
If cops were hunting black people for sport, I would want them all dead. I'd say that's ridiculous. If we burn down Black Wall Street, I would be outraged. If Stonewall, even Stonewall, going back in time now, if Stonewall was about just people not wanting gays to go to a bar, I would be furious. I would be deeply ashamed if blacks created their own Wall Street and we just went, not on my watch, and burned it down and murdered hundreds of people. I mean, I would be deeply ashamed as a Westerner that that happened, but that didn't happen. What is actually happening is the narrative is being controlled. And the worst part of it is when we go, okay, fine, mainstream, control the narrative. I'm just going to go over here and start my own thing. Didn't they tell us to do that? Mm-hmm. Hey, it's a free country. Go start your own thing. Okay, we did. And they're still after that because it's still a threat to them.
Absolutely. It's the biggest threat to them. And I mean, we've been taking calls this morning, and I'm amazed at the number of people that only found InfoWars during COVID. I mean, I'm not casting shade on them. I mean, you know, everybody finds their own path to the truth. But, you know, in my conception, it's like you either found out about Alex Jones before Trump ever even was around, or, you know, you were late to the party and you're never going to be able to make it. But there's still people waking up continuously. And the correct response when you realize that the thing you believed was wrong, if you look at the stats and go, wait, black people aren't being hunted by the police, you should then be mad at the person that lied to you about that, mad at the person that manipulated you. This is something I don't understand. They get lied to and it's like they don't care. It's like they would rather pretend to believe the lie as to not be embarrassed than get mad at the person lying to them. What's up with that?
Yeah, their lies get people killed. It's weird too. Like, say you're a black person and you get in an elevator and all these women clutch their purses. I would be mad at the black guys who made me look bad,
right,
by stealing a bunch of purses. But they don't. They direct it at the woman and you go, you stupid bitch, I'm not here to rob you. But I think these conversations, when you talk to very young people, like early 20s, even late teens, they're pretty red pilled. They get it. And I think it's because of Alex Jones. Like, you go to Britain and you talk to a 17-year-old about Tommy Robinson and Nigel Farage and Brexit. They are fully red pilled. They finally see through this crap because boomers to them are like, well, people at death's door like Biden. So I think that this myth is dying, but I feel like we're just sort of sinking in the quicksand, yelling up to the next generation, like, Avengers! Right. Like, Avengers! But we're being killed right now.
Yeah. No, I'm laughing as the sand is filling up my mouth like the horse from the Neverending Story. Yeah, no, it's true. It's tragic. It's brutal. But you're exactly right. And I think people will avenge us. I think the bomb has been detonated. There's no undoing this anymore. They can try to silence us now, but it's like too little too late, man. The message has gone out. The signal has been sent. We've transmitted the Death Star plans and the rebels are on their way. So, you know, do with us what you will. What they got to be freaking out. I mean, this is almost like, I mean, it's an act of desperation when they do this. It's revealing their cards. It's because they have nothing else to offer. All they have is tyranny. I mean, how long can this go on, Gavin? They're going to fail eventually, aren't they? They have to.
I don't know if we'll make it, but I know this is kind of getting in the weeds, but what exactly is going on? Like today, Alex Jones is being sentenced for what? He's already been sentenced. He's already has to pay billions, right?
Yes. Well, what's happening today, Alex Jones is in Houston right now it's a hearing to decide basically how the liquidation will look. We're being liquidated. It's over. It's just whether it will continue to operate to try to sell some of the products for a few days or whether it'll just be shut today. Basically, this is we've been sentenced to death and now they're trying to set our execution date. That might be a good metaphor for it.
Wow. So your execution date, say it's tomorrow. The sheriff walks in, opens your locks, and just starts taking like TriCasters and monitors and microphones and then selling them at auction. Is that what's going on?
I guess as far as I know, that is what's going on. I mean, this whole thing has been so impossible to like wrap my mind around because it's like there are no rules. I mean, it's like, well, I could tell you what usually happens, but that's not going to be what happens because everything being done to us is totally unprecedented. So as far as I understand, yes, but God only knows.
You know what I would do if I was Alex? I would just pay the $1.87 billion fine.
I know. Well, he loves money. He just loves money so much he doesn't want – he's not willing to do –
He won't part with his billions.
Yeah. He keeps it all in a big room. It's all gold coins, and he swims in the gold. So, yeah, you know, we can't. He's got to keep doing that. We'll be right back. More with Gavin McGinnis on the other side. Stay with us, folks. Gavin McGinnis, censored.tv. The final episode ever, and I'm very happy to be joined by Gavin McGinnis, host of Get Off My Lawn on censored.tv. You know, Gavin, it seems like everybody just outside of the mainstream, and even somewhat within it, are on Alex Jones's side. But I have never, as far as I know, never heard a politician, except for maybe like Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene, like maybe them, they've spoken out about Alex Jones. But where's the establishment Republicans on this? Like, how much is going to have to happen before the people with actual political power in the Republican Party actually stand up for us, for you, for me, for Alex? Like, how far do we have to go? Do they have to go in destroying us before people in official positions of power wake up and realize what's being done to the American people? I guess what I'm asking is, how do we get an AIPAC guy? Thomas Massie said every congressman has an AIPAC babysitter. How do we get one of those to actually talk about our interests so that the politicians actually do something to support the American people for once? I mean, what do we have to do here?
Yeah, we need the same corruption they have.
Right?
I want to have those politicians what to do. Tells them the rights and wrongs and who to support and who not to. Yeah, you're right. You know, Martin Luther King said the only thing that hurts me more than the wrath of my enemies is the silence of my friends, wow. Something like that. And I kind of get Antifa. I almost respect Antifa because their role is, I hate your guts and I'm going to fight you. It's almost like an Israeli respecting a Palestinian, like, your job is to hate me. You're right. There's no bone to. You know, there's no lies there. Even when we fought them and the police showed up, they said, F you, pigs. We're not pressing charges. We hate pigs, too. So at least there's consistent. But right. these, as Buchanan calls them, these neocons, these fake Republicans, these rhinos, they totally turn their back on us when there's any kind of controversy. If they could possibly be embarrassed on the stage, they completely shut us off. Conversely, if there's a gay or a trans Republican, they can't wait to kiss their ass. And they're just so concerned with their reputation and how they're perceived. And justice and honesty and truth is secondary. They really make me puke. And if there's one hill to die on, it's Alex Jones and InfoWars. I mean, both sides should be fighting for this. In a true and honest America, both sides will be fighting. But I wanted to say something. I would never poach Alex's shows in a million years. I look up to him. When I was fired from Blaze, I was at the lowest point of my life, and he was like, we can rebuild him. And he's playing the Bionic Man in the background. And that totally altered my trajectory. Like, I went from going down to going up. And he's the reason I'm sitting in this chair right now. But if the shows are just dead sitting on the floor, I would kill to have them on censored.tv. All of them. Like, I would love to keep InfoWars going in any way, shape, or form we can.
Well, we're going to have to do something like that because, you know, Owen and I are in pretty good positions. People know who we are. We have big Twitter followings. But, man, the crew especially, you know, these guys break their backs day in and day out and are hardly ever even on camera. Nobody knows their name. So I would love to be able to just hit the ground running and rebuild with something right off the bat. You know, the issue is that, you know, InfoWars is Alex Jones. It is Alex Jones. Wherever he goes, will continue to be InfoWars. But that's what we need, though. We need people on our side going, hey, if they're going to shut you down, we're going to make them regret that by making you bigger than ever. I mean, this is a very tangible victory against our enemies if we come back. You know, it's like when you know, some NFL player gets kicked off the team or kicked out of a game because he doesn't support the gay people, and then his jersey sells out, right? You send a message to these people going, hey, the more you attack these people, the more we support them, so maybe just don't attack them because you're only building them up. I think that's what we need, and we need people to come together. And the reason I was bringing this up, because right before we went live again, I saw Charlie Kirk you know, speaking out about this. And he's one that, you know, is more mainstream, very much mainstream, actually. And yet he is willing to, you know, come out about this, saying this was never about justice for Sandy Hook families or whatever excuse they gave. The lawsuits against Jones have always been about finding a way to censor and destroy a person the left hates and then using that blueprint on everybody else. So, I mean, everybody gets it at this point. I'm just shocked at the fact that, like, Fox News, like, if Fox News was legit at all, they would have had Alex Jones on for a weekly segment for the last 3 years just to piss off the left.
Yeah, they're a perfect example of the pussy right, Fox News. In fact, I've seen them doing a whole feature on a trans kid and how wonderful he is now that she's not a he or whatever the hell it goes. They also kiss the ass of the left praying. Like, National Review is another place where they do that. But, yeah, I think that Alex is going to be way more popular after this. I always say it's obviously hyperbolic. I don't want to blaspheme, but I always go, was Jesus more popular before or after he was crucified? The more justice you do to someone, the more people look into it and realize, holy crap, that guy was just trying to give out information. The network is called InfoWars.
Right. And of course – And you know, as you were sort of pointing out, it's like Alex Jones is the guy because he's been so consistent. He's never been the hateful person they try to paint him as. He was protesting the KKK in the 1990s. He has been sincerely pro-American the entire time. So it's like you can't, you know, use an excuse, well, he's an anti-Semite, well, he's a racist. It's like, no, he's none of those things. He is pure Americana, pure Christian love, pure just what it means to be an American. You're exactly right. And that's what they hate, and that's why they have to take him down. And he's independent, and he did it himself, and he built it himself without any institutional cooperation. So, of course, they have to set an example with him.
Talking about words here. This guy isn't, like, defending orgies and organizing them. He's not going to the crap for this particular person. There's no physical contact here. This is just words. I don't care if he was the worst person on earth. He's not. You're right. But in a society now where we're so petrified of words that we have to use lawfare to shut down, so this incredibly retarded politician named Sheila Jackson, she said, we're at the point now where it's not just sticks and stones to break our bones. And we're like, you're totally misunderstanding the saying you're talking about. The whole reason that saying exists is to say we all need to leave.
Gavin, you're starting to sort of jump in and out here. We're gonna reconnect with you really quickly, just because you're I'm missing a couple words. You're jumping in and out. So we're gonna reconnect with Gavin McGinnis here in just a second. But I was getting what he was saying. He's exactly right. It doesn't matter. If Alex Jones was racist, he should still be allowed to be on. I think that's what he was getting at, that this is nonviolent. It is information. It is words. This is what the First Amendment is there for. It is to protect your ability to speak out, even if what you say is wrong, even if what you say is offensive to some people. That's a very small price to pay for what you receive in return. You get a little offended, but in return, we get to actually have our own thoughts and be human beings and be guided by our conscience and not have to be subject to tyrannical madmen. This is a very worthy trade-off. I'm sorry some people have to be outraged at the truth, that they're scared because they've been dependent on lies for so long. Are we back with the guy? Let me know when we get reconnected with him, because so of course the globalists are hacking and interfering our feed right in the middle of a powerful rant. You were talking about Sheila Jackson Lee, Gavin, and I have to know what you have to say about her, because she, of course, was my representative in my hometown of Houston and is a horrible hag. What were you saying about Sheila Jackson Lee there?
Well, you know her famous quote, right? She said my favorite thing of all time. She said, my administration has never done anything that could be described as idiot. But my second favorite thing she said recently was that we're at the point now where it's not just sticks and stones that break our bones, words break our bones. Wow. And it's like, you don't understand the fundamental point of that saying, which is, guys, let's always keep words separate. Let's always have the sticks and stones down here. There's physical things. Someone hits you, yeah, you hit them back. But we have to put words in a separate category, separate them both, and always allow for words, no matter what they are. Like, you're defending Alex Jones, and you're right. His words are valid. But even if his words weren't valid, we have to separate words. That's the core, right. The fundamental core of America. That's why I'm in this funeral uniform, because if we take that away and we say words are sticks and stones, we're toast. We're Iran. We are the turd world. We're ruined. We're the Congo.
Well, 100%, I'm not sure if you heard me while we were reconnecting. It's like, yeah, you might get offended, but offense, being a bit offended is a small price to pay for having the ability to think your own thoughts and to say what you believe. It's like, this is the trade-off that we all understand on the West is a perfectly good deal to make. You get to say whatever you want, and I might be offended, but in exchange, we aren't ruled by despicable tyrants forever who, you know, lie to us continuously to keep us enslaved. That's the deal in America. You have to deal with it.
It's invigorating to be shocked. Like, I have friends that have died of lung cancer. Smoking is bad. You shouldn't smoke cigarettes. And then I was talking to a guy, Peter Brimelo, actually. He said, would you rather get on a plane if the pilot was a smoker? Would you rather get on the plane if he had just had a cigarette or if he hadn't had a cigarette? And I was like, oh, that's right. A twist. That's a new one. Like, you want to be able to go, oh, I never thought of that. Well, that's a new angle.
100%, man. I wish we had more time. We got to go to break. Gavin McInnes, censored.
Species by a guild of psychopaths, and they must be defeated. I'm gonna settle down. Excuse me. We come back with extra 7 sticker calls. Excuse me.
Oh yeah, they're gonna silence that guy. Yeah, they're gonna shut that guy up for sure. No, they're gonna ban him from buying bullhorns. Like, you realize there's nothing they can do, right? You realize that they can literally take everything away from Alex Jones. The man will be on a bullhorn outside of your building the next day, and every news station will carry it. You understand that, right? That there's nothing you can do to stop Alex Jones. They don't. They don't understand it. They think they can actually stop him. They think they can actually put out the fire that he sparked. It's consumed the country already. It's too late. It's too late, folks, for them to stop what Alex Jones has done. Now they want to make an example out of him. They want to make an example out of us. The hearing just started 3 minutes ago. In Houston, Texas, we will be hearing from Chase Geiser, who is there on the ground with an update at the bottom of this hour. We'll take your calls as we move a little bit forward here, probably in the next segment. You know, one of the amazing things about putting that compilation together was again reminding myself of the number of people that got their start on InfoWars. Look what Candace Owens has been doing. We had her on when she was red pill black and nobody knew who the hell she was except for us. I'm not taking credit for it. And this is the point of having this platform. This is why they're taking this platform away. How many careers have been launched at InfoWars.com? It's impossible to quantify. Gavin McGinnis just pointed out he's in that chair because everybody we've had on the show this week has said, I'm only here because Alex Jones. It really is amazing. It really is. I mean, that's not even to mention like Savannah Hernandez, who of course was fresh out of journalism school, working at InfoWars. Now she's, millions of people paying attention. It's incredible. And it's incredible to think that all these sayings that lefties love to use, you try to bury me, you didn't realize we were seeds. No, we're the seeds, and the garden is growing. We'll be right back. I know I'm not doing what I normally do on this show and bring you as much news as humanly possible. More of a reminiscence type of program we're running today. Of course, you probably know. You probably know everything going on. They're launching bird flu. They're going to do another pandemic. They're sending out the PCR tests so that they'll get a false positive so that they can cull all of the cows in the country because they're trying to shut down the food systems to force us all into a dependency on a highly interconnected international corporate system. They're installing digital IDs through the back door. They've already got one in New York State. They've got one in Australia. The Gates Foundation has just been awarded a grant to spearhead the digital ID initiative in this country. At the same time, they're setting up the central bank digital currency to bring about the full-fledged mark of the beast transactional level control system worldwide. They're, of course, destroying free speech through various hate speech initiatives, as well as using lawfare to target independent outlets, as well as people like Elon Musk for purchasing Twitter and opening that up for everybody. They are, of course, jailing their political opponents like Donald Trump and his lawyers just to make sure that the enemies of the regime are denied their due process and allowed representation into the future, as people will be scared away from representing anybody that's been given the black mark by this tyrannical system. At the same time, the borders are wide open with tens of millions of people not just crossing over unhindered, but actually being flown into the country via processing centers in foreign nations to maximize the number of third world invaders that we welcome with open arms by instructing them what to say and instructing the asylum receivers to accept what we told them to say as a valid excuse for asylum in an attempt to demographically alter all of America and Western Europe forever. At the same time, we're starting a war with Russia, and the war in Israel against Gaza is failing and faltering as they turn the Eye of Sauron north towards Lebanon and get prepared for a further expansion of that conflict. China is, of course, beating the war drums around Taiwan. All of this happening while the leader of this country literally cannot string a sentence together and at the G7 is wandering off like a dementia patient and having to be wrangled by other heads of state. It's all insane and crazy, and Fauci is testifying in Congress about the cover-up of the lab leak scenario and the death caused by vaccines is finally getting mainstream attention, even though we've been warning about it for years, and even though they're still pushing the vaccine and designing the next one for bird flu. Let's see, am I missing anything? The anti-Semitism laws, the exposure about AIPAC babysitters of every congressman. Did I leave anything? I feel like I'm missing. The food and water is totally poisoned. They're spraying particles into the air to block out the sun. Climate change is being used to also shut down farms across the globe in a deliberate attempt to shut down our food systems. I mean, you know all of this, right? You're aware of what's going on, right? That everything's happening all at once. That it is a clearly coordinated, orchestrated, deliberate plan of human extinction being brought about. You get that, right? You understand what's going on. And that's the thing. You just focusing on one of these, any one of those things that I just mentioned is like a nation-ending catastrophe. the number of migrants, the level of migration, invasion, really. Migration is not the right word, but the level of invasion we've been subjected to is alone would be an existential crisis. But that's just sort of a side note on the other insane world-ending diabolical plans being initiated and culminated at this moment. So this is what Alex Jones has been warning about. And like I said yesterday, it's like from the Alex Jones mothership, from the central node of InfoWars, you have like various iterations, various incarnations of this dissident movement. You've got the bodybuilding right who, you know, picked up the baton of poison in the food and water and testosterone being limited and estrogen mimickers in all of our food and air and toys and everything everywhere, sunscreen and God knows what else. But then at the same time, you have like the more esoteric, sort of occultish branch of things that's looking into the secret societies and the soft disclosures and the hidden things about science and spirituality and demons and UFOs. And there's that aspect. And then there's the purely political, where you've got people like Charlie Kirk, you know, expressing a lot of the political views that Alex Jones first spearheaded and that were hugely unpopular until a few years ago. All of these things have sprouted from the InfoWars seed pod. And it's beautiful to see, and it's unstoppable, and it's a rising tide that threatens to overwhelm and subsume the mainstream media. That's what they're scared of. That's what they're trying to shut down. And I just barely scratched the surface in naming all of those things. That's just off the top of my head. I mean, I guarantee you I'm missing gigantic. I mean, the fact that, you know, our army is not meeting its recruitment goals, and so they're having to bring in illegal immigrants to the armed forces. Fight for us, and you can have citizenship. Fight against the American citizens, and you'll have their citizenship. We'll replace you completely by bringing you in, letting you kill the natives, and take their place. It just goes on and on. It is completely insane. And the one thing you need to understand about these people that are doing this is that they know exactly what they're doing. They're doing it on purpose, and they're not going to stop doing it until they're stopped. There is no limiting factor on any of these things. There is no point to which the control freaks, the psychopaths, the depopulationists, the anti-white people, there's no point where they're going to stop on their own volition. You know, they're not going to stop the immigration until, basically until America collapses and there's no longer any immigration because there's no point in moving here because we're no better than anywhere else in the world. Even then, people will still come. South Africa has like 5% of the population pays taxes and 60-something percent don't have jobs and depend entirely on the taxes produced by the 5%. I mean, there are still millions of people illegally migrating to South Africa this year. It's like until we really hit rock bottom, there's nothing that's going to stop these people other than just the natural progression of their own plans failing and collapsing. But that takes decades. So I think that is one of the key takeaways from all of this is like, you can't trust that these people will suddenly come to a realization that they're being evil and will revert, right? This isn't a Christmas carol. There's no ghost of Christmas past to come along and convince these evil people that what they're doing is, they know what they're doing is evil. They know perfectly well what they're doing. They revel in it. They enjoy it. If we could just get that message across, if we could just get the message across to the good people of America that you're good, so it's hard for you to imagine the way other people are, but these people are not good. Don't listen to them. Look at what they do. Don't listen to the words they use. Look at their actions. Look at their behavior. Look at the outcome of their policies. That's why it's in place. Let's go out to your phone calls now. We've got William in Arkansas. Has a song for us, I understand. Go ahead, William on line 5. You're on the air.
Hey, I'm not, a singer, but Jones and Jones and Jones, keep the info rolling, keep the warrior knowing by lie. Where's the warrior Schroyer, locked up by lawyers, fighting for your freedom day and night? Jones and Jones and Jones, keep the warriors knowing, keep the fight on going, fight lie. Where is Joe Biden? In the basement hiding, changing his diaper all the time. Warrior, 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 keep the info going. Hey, I'm, dead in the water.
But yeehaw, William, I love that. All that was missing was a couple whip crack noises.
I just lost focus. But anyways, man, it's, where do you go? They're afraid of people like me saying this. No matter where you go in Huntsville prison, there's nobody that gave $400 million to our enemy. But if you go to Martha's Vineyard, that's another story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exactly, it's sickening. Right. And I wish y'all the best. I would put it to a whole new test for all of everybody, and I could right here. I've got more than I need. I'm cash poor, land rich. I've got two farms. I will, right here in front of the whole world, I will give you, because they'll take it if it's yours, I'll give you a 50 to 100 year lease on your own discretion to renew for a dollar every year. Everybody in your network will come here. I'll give you land. I got two farms. You can have one.
Oh,
the
man.
Founders of this nation, our forefathers, gave their fortunes, their lives, their commitment. This is way beyond a stupid network. That you, and I take backward. This is way beyond the Alex Jones Network. This is about freedom. This is about the American essence. This is about everything that we stand for, right? You're going to debase our very first law, the very first principle. It's unreal. I can't put it into words, but America's going down the toilet if we don't start thinking out of the box and realizing if we don't do something different and shine that little light. We're going down the tubes, and it's not just America. We may get a new form of government, but the world loses the last and only republic of this sort. So it's up to, everybody out there to keep this going one way or the other. I certainly could have done more, I think, in the past to contribute. I have contributed a little bit with financing stuff and buying stuff, but nobody with my fat mouth calling in has ever asked me or influenced what I've said, tried to buy anything, sell anything. It's always been an unedited version of a knucklehead like me being able to come out here to the whole world and say something, something.
You say a lot. I you're one of my favorite callers of all time, and this call is exactly why. Because you just obviously are so sincere about this and just truly understand the stakes of what's going on here. I just think it's incredible. We got to stay in touch, William, because this is the only way we talk when you call in the show. Say it again.
I'm trying to get my man cave set up for an iPod because I'm ignorant when it comes to technical stuff. It's my own fault. It's my biggest downfall in modern society is knowing how to work all the technological stuff. I've been listening to y'all from a phone for the last 5 years. So that's all I've got out on this farm. I'm way out in the middle of nowhere. You guys decided to come out here and utilize this property across the street. It's yours. I'll give you a 50-year lease, right? 100-year lease, whatever. Power of the pen right here, baby. You think I'm joking? I don't play.
I
volunteered the day after the Beirut bombing, right, and joined the infantry. I volunteered to die for this nation and my freedom and the military and this nation and the greatness of all our forefathers have given me what I have. So for me to spend a little of it to keep things going, what the hey, man, I'm not doing without.
Man, you are too kind. You're too kind.
It's not about you guys. This is about our damn country. Love you, bro. This ain't about you. This is about the men that stood at Lexington and Concord and Gettysburg. You name it. This goes back before the Magna Carta. This is not about the radio show of Alex
Joe.
You're right. You're right. It's about the literally millennia of our ancestors working and striving and sacrificing and building generation upon generation of moral people, getting to this height of civilization, only to see it all ripped away from us by these conniving scumbags. You're exactly right. It is about the continuation of who we are as a people and what we believe. And that's what's made me so proud to do this, is knowing that I had family that fought in the Texas Revolution and the American Revolution, and literally, like, in a very literal way, feeling their eyes on me and going, oh, gee, I hope they're happy. I really do hope that they know at least one of their, you know, thousands of offspring, thousands of people that came after them, at least one of them is doing what we can to carry on their legacy. It's brutal. It's brutal, William, what's going on here.
We want to carry on a little more legacy for the warriors out there. The land I'm talking about has a very old classic. It's classic Americana. It's an old house, big old red barn. Bring your tents, your RVs, your hammers, and your nails. Let's fix this old house for a new studio for all the Info Warriors, for anybody. I'm telling you, I'll give it up in a heartbeat. I'm not going to say this 6 to 9 million people and then go, my name ain't Biden. I'm not the American Congress.
No, you're the real deal, William, and I hear it every time you call in. I want to thank you so much for all the times you've called in. I pray to God it's not the last time that we'll be talking together. I guess I'll go ahead and announce this. I wasn't really going to release it today, but if people do want to get in touch, I know not everybody has an X account. If you have an X account, you can follow me at Harrison H. Smith, and my DMs are open. I try to respond. I get a lot of messages, but especially if you're a caller, say, hey, I'm William in Arkansas. I call in all the time. And I will certainly check that message. But I also, I've been doing...
For everybody out there, my name truly is on the Declaration of Independence, right? And I'm the third. Now, what am I supposed to think about that? What am I supposed to do about that? For every soldier that has swore an oath to protect this nation, to sit back and watch this is absolutely dismantling of every moral fiber in our body. You know, to sit back and watch these morons dismantle our nation when we've sworn an oath. Our forefathers have done the same. I'm not right, but I'm going to try to do better. I'm not going to just sit and watch this die. These people have what they're doing is pulling the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
The judges and the lawyers prosecuting Trump and Jones, they're cocking the hammer and pulling the trigger, right? And Biden's wrong about me needing an F-16. What I need is a clear, transparent election. We got Trump. We don't need an F-16.
That's right. And that's been the point of this info war the whole time, is knowing that with the right information, with the right spirit, with the right political activism, we can turn this ship around. There's nothing that says that what's going on right now has to continue indefinitely, or we have to go to war with our own country. I mean, that's an ultimate, you know, solution that it could happen. But everything that we've done at this program has been to desperately try to achieve victory without having to resort to those types of tactics. Also recognizing that the system that's been set up precludes that type of action for the time being. Situation may change. Things may alter in the future, but as of now, there is still hope. We can still turn this thing around. We can deport all these people. We can undo all these laws. We can punish all these tyrants. It's possible to do within our system. That is the strength and the robustness of the Republican system that our founders left us with. It can be fixed. It can be solved. It takes concerted, organized, focused effort by an awakened populace, because the other option is death and misery and war and victory eventually, but suffering until then. And we want to avoid that at all costs. So like I always say, you want to say there's nothing worse than war. There's one thing worse than war, and that's giving up without a fight. War is the second worst thing in the world to me. Thank you so much for your call, William. Like I was saying, I've been doing just sort of for fun, and for the last couple months, my friend John and I have been doing Moonbase Live in the afternoons. And if this thing goes down, if this is our last show, then I do want our audience to know that I guess I'll be doing Moonbase in the mornings from now on. I guess we'll be without a crew, but still trying to get this message out 8 to 11 a.m. like we always do, because I know people have been habituated to this. They have a habit of tuning in, and we'll try to just pick up without missing a beat. And I made a very temporary website that you can find, moonbase.show. If you go to moonbase.show, you can find links to everything there. Rumble will be the main platform we'll be on, and there's a email icon there in the upper right. And so if you do want to get in contact with me, do it on X, or if you don't have an X, you can go to moonbase.show and hit the email button. Again, I feel even like dirty doing this. It's like, again, until InfoWars is down for good, I don't even want to do this, but I know our listening audience, not all of you are on Twitter, not all of you are social media heads, so I guess I should. I guess I should let you know where you'll be able to find me, at least once this whole thing goes down. Moonbase.show will be the sort of headquarters of that. Let's go out to another call here. We've got Don in Michigan. Thank you so much for calling in, and thank you for holding Don in Michigan, line six. Thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Harrison, brother, I'm so sad for all this. I'm so sad for all you guys, man. I'm so sad for this. This infrastructure, the 30 years that everything you guys have physically built. I'm just visibly shaken. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to think. I mean, I've got the InfoWars Info Wagon, and it's on the road every single day. Broadcasting the message. I still got all the content you guys have created. I got suitcases, briefcases loaded up with all the movies, all the documents. I've got everything inside that car. It's not just a car with stickers on it. I mean, I'm living it. I go to county commission meetings. I'm a precinct delegate. I mean, I'm doing all I can. Everything, all I do is broadcasting InfoWars. Just like William said a few minutes ago, it's not so much you guys, but you guys are the best. You guys are the best media operation broadcasting the truth, trying to save our frickin' country and the world. And I don't know, it's 30 years just coming to an end. I mean, I know I follow you. I follow all you guys individually. But just to see InfoWars take a poop like this because some dirty, corrupt judge, because some BS is just, I mean, I don't know what to say, brother. I don't know what to say.
Well, man, you have said so much already. And if we had 10,000 people like you, we wouldn't be in this situation. It's so amazing and honestly humbling and seeing the support and getting the support that we get, like... You should make a museum. You should make the InfoWars Museum. I think Michigan would be a great place for the InfoWars Museum. All your you know, things that you've gotten, all the products, all the supplements. You know, maybe just in your garage, the InfoWars Museum. People can come and pay $5 to actually see the tangible manifestation of this revolutionary organization. And look, I know it's.
I don't know.
It's such a weird thing, man. It's like it is over, but it's not. It's like we're being shut down, but we're only going to get bigger. It's like, are we sad or are we excited? I don't know. I don't know what to feel, and I don't know until this place is shut down, until I don't have this studio to go to anymore.
I sent you a direct message on Twitter sometime back. I'm not verified with a blue check mark, but
send me a new one today, and I'll check my inbox. Send me a new one today.
I love every single one of you guys, Harrison.
We love you too.
God bless you, buddy.
Without the audience, we are nothing, and we sincerely mean that.
The fact is, ladies and gentlemen, that we have never been more popular. We've never been more powerful. We've never had more listeners and viewers. We've never as much success as we're having right now. Just remember that this shutdown is an attack. It's not because we've failed. It's not because we've given up. It's not because we decided the fight wasn't worth it. Sometimes, like Captain Jean-Luc Picard says, sometimes you try your best and you still lose. And that's just the way it is. But we haven't lost the war. This is simply a prolonged battle over this military base in the information war. Now, I have Chase Geiser on the line live from Houston, Texas. Chase, are you there?
Yes, it's an honor and pleasure to be with you, man.
Well, tell me what's going on there. We saw the video of you guys driving there this morning. I understand the proceedings are taking place right now. Just give us the update. What's the latest?
Yep. So we all came together in the car with Alex Jones this morning. He approached the courthouse, I would say about an hour ago or so. And as he walked up, of course, he was swarmed by the press. And they gave him an opportunity to speak for about 5 minutes or so. That is going to be airing at the beginning of the Alex Jones show today. And then he walked into the courtroom. So now he is in the middle of his personal bankruptcy hearing. Immediately following this personal bankruptcy hearing today is going to be the Free Speech Systems bankruptcy hearing, which, of course, is the umbrella company of InfoWars, where the fate of InfoWars will be determined. Now, this isn't exactly the end of InfoWars today, depending on what happens in the court today, but it is a major fork in the road. It is a major pivotal moment in what the outcome is ultimately going to be. So we could be shut down as early as this afternoon, or some sort of a deal could be reached, I imagine, where we could be operational for the next 3 to 4 months as we liquidate and sell our existing inventory. But it seems at this point that the demise of InfoWars is inevitable. And ultimately, this is going to be a major victory for us and all of those who fight for truth and freedom of speech, because what doesn't kill us makes us stronger. And Alex Jones is going to be able to continue on and be successful one way or another after this. And his audience is going to have a much larger impact as well, because this is turning all eyes onto InfoWars, this issue and the injustice that Alex and our company has faced over the course of the last several years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just had Gavin McGinnis on, and he was sort of asking what exactly is happening. And the way that I was phrasing it was basically InfoWars has been sentenced to death, and this hearing is sort of setting an execution date. Do you think that's a fair way of describing what's going on here?
Yeah, I don't think that's entirely inaccurate by any means. I think that what's likely going to happen today is the judge, we think, is going to dismiss the bankruptcy case for Free Speech Systems, which means we will no longer have bankruptcy protection. Then we anticipate that the plaintiffs will motion for immediate liquidation in the state court, and we'll try to negotiate that and battle that out in the courts to see what that liquidation process looks like. But it seems like, yes, we've been diagnosed with a terminal illness. It's just a matter of how many weeks we have to live.
So, I mean, how does that even work? I mean, I don't know. It seems like if we go into liquidation, I mean, what, we're going to come in and huck, you know, sell products for people shutting us down? This almost doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah, and I think it depends on whether or not the deal is something Alex Jones agrees to, whatever the deal is going to be, whatever's going to be negotiated. You know, I think everybody in the crew would stay on board if Alex stayed, but if Alex is gone, I think everybody, as you know, would likely just leave and move on to the next thing. So
yeah,
it depends on what works out, what happens, but the next few months are definitely going to be, a disheartening time in terms of morale internally. But at the same time, we have to remember to be inspired. Remember that they are shutting us down because we've told the truth. It's not because of anything we got wrong 10 years ago. It's because of everything that we've gotten right over the course of the last 30 years. And ultimately, any day that we can stay on air by whatever means necessary is a blessing, especially since we have probably the most important election in our nation's history coming up on the 5th of November. So if we can stay on air and somehow work something out where we can be on past the 5th, I think that would be a really good thing for InfoWars, for Alex Jones, freedom of speech, and for America.
Yeah, and for our crew, definitely. You've worked here for how long have you been at InfoWars? Alex was
a year this month.
It's been a year already. It feels like you joined like 3 months ago. Time is just flying by. What's been your experience joining InfoWars? I joined 7 years ago. It was a very different company. I'll tell you right now, it was very different. It was a little bit like the Wild West, and now we're in the settled towns. You know, at this point, the towns have been settled and everything's calmed down a little bit. But when I joined 7 years ago, I mean, it was only the Alex Jones show. They had the nightly news as well. But I mean, it wasn't the company that it is today. So I just wonder, as somebody who watched InfoWars for a couple years and then joined, what's been your experience joining over the last year, Chase?
Yeah, so InfoWars has been by far the best place that I've ever worked. It's by far my favorite job that I've ever had. There's a couple of reasons why. The first reason why is I've got terrible ADD and I get bored very easily. But the amount of stress and tension and adrenaline of working in InfoWars, trying to get things right on the fly for literally live broadcasts for 9 hours a day, is absolutely satisfying to me. The only thing that's bothered me about working in InfoWars is that we've been through this bankruptcy process. So a lot of obvious decisions that were good business decisions required court approval from people like the CRO or others. It was hard to get things done on an internal basis in terms of making smart business decisions and investing money and things that would help us grow. We've been sort of in a holding pattern. That was the only thing frustrating. So I'm actually really excited for Alex to be able to get involved in whatever the next thing is, because he's not going to have that restriction. It's going to be Alex Jones unleashed. And I think we're going to see some explosive awesomeness from Alex Jones and whatever InfoWars 2.0 looks like.
You know, InfoWars 2.0 is not a bad name. I think just calling something 2.0 would be a good title. Somebody else I saw on Twitter was saying, you know, the name for the rebirth of InfoWars needs to be Team Humanity. Team Humanity, maybe that can be the next iteration of this, because that really is what's going on here. The information is out. The information is out there now. It's just a decision as whether or not you're on the side of the humans or on the side of the control freak idiot depopulationist. What do you think about that? Team Humanity being the reincarnation.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad name at all. It's certainly the perfect theme for what Alex Jones is doing. I mean, he's been in the fight for humanity for the last 30 years as the globalists seek to do things like depopulate the planet and subjugate all humanity as they conglomerate all political power worldwide into one new world government. I mean, this is the major motif, the major theme of what InfoWars has been fighting against. It's exactly why they're shutting us down. And the next thing, whether it's called Team Humanity or not, is certainly going to be on behalf of Team Humanity. So I think that's a very fitting name.
Yeah, 100%. What was Alex's take on the fact they're trying to take his social media away? I mean, I'm sure you had 3 hours in the car with him today from Austin to Houston. What'd you hear from him in terms of how he feels about them trying to take his personal Twitter account away so he can never make money again? I mean, it's such nonsense. We don't have to get into the levels of chaos here, but how's Alex feeling today?
Well, he was 100% two emotions, pissed off and delighted. So he would alternate between being pissed off, and he's like, I couldn't sleep at night last night. I was so mad about what they're doing. And then he would be delighted. He's like, they're walking right into the trap. This is going to come down so hard on them. You know, so he's optimistic about what's going to happen. I don't think he believes that they're going to be successful in this. Obviously, the audacity to even attempt something like this is deeply troubling and offensive. But what this does is this draws more attention to the injustice that has been brought upon InfoWars. It's more and more obvious every day how ridiculous these lawsuits against Alex Jones and InfoWars have been because of things like this. It's more and more obvious every day that their objective is to shut down Alex Jones's voice and InfoWars more than it is to actually do anything for the economic benefit of plaintiffs, the families. So it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. It's bad because they have the audacity to do this evil thing, but it's good because it draws attention to their corruption. And ultimately, I don't think they're going to be successful in this endeavor, but the fact that they have the audacity to do it is deeply offensive. I mean, these people, man, they're evil. I'm talking about these lawyers specifically. These lawyers are evil. And this is awesome that we're here at InfoWars fighting on the front lines. I spent years, Harrison, trying to find where the front line of this battle for good and evil, for good versus evil was. You know, I started my podcast. I just knew something was wrong. I was trying to find where the front line was. This is what's so frustrating about the InfoWars. You can't look the enemy in the eye. You can't see the whites of their eyes. It's not like a traditional conflict or Lord of the Rings when the orcs just show up at Helm's Deep. I mean, you have to find these people. And at InfoWars, it's been the most rewarding aspect of working here is you realize, oh, shit, this is the front.
It absolutely is. You know what you're doing is doing damage to the enemy. It's true, man. I drive home from the show every day just feeling like I have delivered the payload, like I'm a bomber returning from my run after a successful targeting. We'll be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere. It's Chase Geyser live from Houston.
Once was a man who got his kicks impersonating Mr. Hicks. Till one day he played another trick and said, my name is Alex Jones. Let me show you how all this goes. He spotted Bin Laden plotting something worse. The old Bill Cooper saw it first. And when those towers up and burst, they gunned poor Cooper down. Then the mark on Y2K. It's all right, he lived to bark another day. He raved big tech would pave the way for a war in the info age.
Battlefield in your mind.
Alex Jones was right. We barely even put up a fight. The Patriot Act is flagrantly fascist, so take off your shoes and follow the rules. It's easy to comply and suffer keeping rights now. Tonight you're locked inside your arms.
rights.
All right, that's a song by a musician named Foundering. Foundering.gumroad.com/i/AlexJones. Yeah, we were right. And by the way, we've shown it on here. Alex Jones predicted 9/11 in March of that year. His more famous prediction was later in the summer, but he was actually the first, believe it or not. And the thing with, we don't need to get into the Bill Cooper thing. A lot of people give credit to Bill Cooper for being the first on a lot of this, but the problem was he miscalculated, unfortunately. I don't blame him. He had a hope, but you can actually hear in his conversation with Alex Jones, he basically is like, if the feds come for me, this militia in this area will stand up and it'll spark a revolution around the world, around the country. And he miscalculated. It's unfortunate, but this is a real war. This is a real information war. And if you're wrong, you don't last that long. So we got a couple callers that I want to get to here in what could be the final segment of American Journal. We'll go to Trevor in Atlanta. He's been holding for a very long time. Thank you so much for holding, Trevor. You're on the air. Biden body doubles. Yeah, there was footage that I couldn't tell if it was a shadow from the caller or if it really is. I mean, it looks like it's just a blatant mask on Biden. We know they have this incredible technology with masks and other things. They could very reasonably, and is not outside of the realm of possibility, that they have clones and people acting and wearing masks. I mean, they've had this technology since the 60s, folks, and it was convincing then. You can only imagine what it's like now. Trevor from Atlanta, you're on the air about Biden body doubles. Go ahead.
Hey, Harrison. Hey, so yeah, I wanted to get your take on that because I was listening to the Patrick Bet David podcast this morning and they brought that up and they showed a bunch of videos where his chin is like different and his earlobes are different. And then what you were talking about where he has like a shadow under his neck or something that kind of seems like he was wearing a mask. And they were asking the question, do you think Biden does have body doubles, which I think he does. And if you do think he has body doubles, do you think the Biden administration is having that body double do his speeches? What do you think about that?
I don't think he has body doubles because why would they choose body doubles that are just as incompetent and embarrassing as he is? Like, to me, it's, you know, if Biden was suddenly jogging around and, you know, looking healthy and fresh and not slurring his words and actually able to complete a sentence, I'd be suspicious. But it's like you're going to have a guy in a mask go up and pretend to be Biden and be so convincing that he looks like a dementia-ridden old coot. Like, why even do that? What's even the purpose of that? I think Biden has had some very bizarre plastic surgeries. I think, like, the man is more of a machine than human at this point in a spiritual way. And I think the more important thing is to understand that whether Biden is a clone or a puppet or a whatever, it's like the fact is he's not running the country. That's the important thing. He's not running the country. Other people are making decisions. He is, for all intents and purposes, he might as well be a wax figure. Like, they might as well just wheel out a Madame Tussauds wax figure and put it up in front of a podium and have it sit in the Oval Office. I mean, that's who he is. He is not running his administration. His actuaries are. Anthony Blinken is. So I think that's the important thing to understand. And yeah, again, I think if you were going to have a body double, why would you have one that looks like he is constantly pooping himself? I mean, this just makes no sense. This is crazy. So yeah, I think the situation with Biden is disturbing enough without even having to consider the mask thing, although it is certainly a possibility. I believe that completely. Let's go quickly to Van in Kansas City, and then I want to close out with Clown Car. But Van, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning, Harrison. Glad to be on InfoWars. I've been listening to Alex Jones since the mid-90s, and I'm slightly depressed.
Shortwave radio? How'd you find Alex in the 90s?
Well, he was on some radio shows, and there were a few things that you could find right after the internet got started. but mostly just listening to him on the radio.
Yeah.
It's been a blast to see all of these things that he has predicted come true.
Right.
And now my family is like, oh, you did say that 20 years ago, and it happened.
I know. When Alex Jones is right, it means all of us are right. That's just a symbol for us knowing the plans and being able to call them out. So you've been listening for, God, nearly 30 years and have never called in once. What an honor to have you call in here in the first time.
Yeah, I think I responded to you on X, and you responded back the other day. That was really a blessing. I just want to tell everybody, you know what? They're making InfoWars bigger, and they're making Alex Jones bigger with all this. So anytime you post on X or Facebook, hashtag I am Alex Jones. We're going to show them.
We are all Alex Jones. It really is a beautiful thing, and it's amazing to know that while he sits lonely in a courtroom in Houston having his fate decided by strangers who despise him, it's like it's nothing compared to the millions of people that listen to him and pray for him every single day. So thank you so much for calling in, Van. I really appreciate it. And, of course, no matter what happens, stay in touch. Owen Schroer just put out a tweet at Owen Schroer 1776. He just put out a tweet with a bunch of people at InfoWars, all of their handles on Twitter and X. So go follow them. Make a list of your own, the InfoWars list. Keep up with all of us. And you can keep up with me at Harrison H. Smith, and moonbase.show is the new site. Let's go now to Clown Car from New York. Clown Car, how you doing, sir?
Harrison, it's a sad day, but I'll tell you what, it's a celebration. I know a lot of things we've come up with over the years have come to fruition, whether it be booking guests or coming up with skits and bits. And I'm telling you, your comedy career is just taking off, my brother. But I want to let everybody know out there. And now the end is near, and so I face the final end. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few. But then again, too few to mention. I've gained what I had to do. I saw it through without exception. I live a life that's full. I travel, I messed it up. But InfoWars will live on. And more, much more than this, I did it my way.
The Sinatra of the streets, Clown Car from New York City.
Hell yeah.
You're making me cry and laugh at the same time, Clown Car. What a beautiful way to close out this episode. God willing, and if some miracle occurs, we'll be back on Monday. But if not,
let's go! Either way, let's go!
It's been a pleasure, folks. We'll talk to you soon.